Join us and go live. Let's see. Okay, I think we're live, Ski. Let
me see. All right.
Yes, we're live. We're live, pal.
Very, very good. Are you guys excited for tonight?
Goddamn right.
Hell yeah.
Kevin,
I got
a question, Kev.
What's up?
What's the new name? What's the new name about?
I don't know. Just felt right.
All right. All right. If you're, I guess that doesn't show up on Facebook, does it?
Sure does.
All right. Well, we got Shining Wizards Tony. We got Shining Wizards Matt. We got K Dogalicious.
I just started typing.
I like it. I like it. Quarantine is clearly getting to all of us as we are slowly losing our minds. Props to Kevin for still wearing his Jets gear after yesterday's so Jets loss. But he does have a tasty Stone Cold beverage in his hands.
Oh, they're everywhere in West Orange now. You can't walk down the street without seeing one.
Last night, I might have to get my father some of those for Christmas.
Oh, delicious.
Stone Cold's his guy. You know what you're missing on that? You're missing a beer koozie from cheapshotparty.com. Cheapshotparty.bigcartel. Not Cheap Shot Party. They're fucking awesome.
Tell them to send me some free koozies.
If it's free, it's for you.
That's it.
T-Donk, how you doing over there? You got any fucking grog tonight?
No grog tonight, my friend. I had a roast chicken for dinner, one of them rotisserie jobs from the supermarket.
A whole roast chicken?
I didn't eat it myself, you silly goose. Shared it with the family.
So you did not eat a whole roast chicken, yet Matt is a silly goose. Did you eat a whole silly goose?
I would love to eat a goose. I love goose. I love duck. I love all that shit.
Wait, you would eat a goose?
You're a big fowl guy.
I'm very foul.
No.
That's right.
Yes, that's true. Good point. Hold on. A goose? You would eat a goose. You eat a chicken? You eat a turkey? You eat a duck?
Yeah.
And a goose?
Yeah. I've eaten quail, I've eaten capon, I've eaten all that shit.
T-Dunk, I walk outside my house, I walk 3 blocks, I find you a goose. There's like a whole flock of them just hanging out. A gaggle, if you will.
Ooh, a gaggle of geese?
That's right. Ooh. Get you one real quick. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Kev. Appreciate you looking out for me.
We have a gaggle of guests this evening from MLW. Logan Creed joins us at 7:15. Sledge, the Metalhead Maniac from Ring of Honor, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. And Gabby Ortiz participating in the Synergy Wrestling's Women's Garden State Invitational this weekend joins us at 8:30. Plus, what a week in pro wrestling. We have all this to cover and so much more. Shenanigans and grog and geese. And Steve Austin IPAs all next.
What?
On the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is Kenny Omega, and you are cleaning up the competition with Shining Wizards Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
I love the big package.
And he's got those smelly balls.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Fucking loser.
Fuck the Shining Wizards.
Fucking losers and fuck us indeed. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Shining Wizards, episode 510. Where of course it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
Hey dog.
No KJG tonight?
I figured I'd go K dog. Oh, you know what? KJG.
There you go, T-Donk.
We got a new intro tonight. What'd you guys think?
A lot of F-bombs. A lot of F-bombs.
Smelly balls.
Are you now... Kevin, are you now offended by the F-bombs like Tony was last week?
Yeah, but see, Tony said them all. Like, Tony was offended and then said them.
Right.
You guys take everything out of context.
No, I love the intro, T-Doc. Very funny. Very humorous. Love that Kenny Omega liner, baby.
Yeah.
Making news.
All right,
making headlines.
A brand new AEW champ. Oh, wait, did I spoil that for anyone?
Look, if you ain't watched by now, you're fucking up the creek without a paddle, my friend. Let's just get right into it.
Yeah, you probably got smelly balls, too.
Who's got smelly balls?
Apparently, John Silver thought somebody did.
Yeah, Michael Nakazawa.
Fucking Nakazawa. He looks like he would have smelly balls.
Why is that?
Fucking Code Wizards. He just looks smelly. Kev, anybody that walks around with a bottle of baby oil and you don't see any soap around them, that baby oil locks shit in.
All right, Matt, allow me, please. All right, so the baby oil character, weird. How many times in your lifetime have you seen someone walking down the street with baby oil and soap?
Well, in the mean streets of West Orange, if you're carrying baby oil, you better be ready to have some soap, otherwise shit's on.
What does that even mean? I don't even get what you're saying.
So, to piggyback on Kevin's question, Tony... Is there a bar of soap within reach of you?
Right now? No. Why? Am I using baby oil?
I don't fucking know. You're not making any sense here.
Yeah.
Look, all I'm saying is if you're walking around and you're putting baby oil on all the time, you're locking in all your body's natural oils and scents. So that shit stays on you. Normally when you sweat, all that shit gets out of your system. But when you sweat and you're covered in baby oil, that shit ain't going nowhere. So I would imagine somebody who runs around who's a professional wrestler covered in baby oil would develop a little bit of a stank, especially in the crotchetal area. Makes sense. But
they got showers after the show.
All right, fine. After the show. But during the show? Probably not. Nobody's taking time out to catch a shower under the ring.
I'm pretty sure Michael Nakazawa does not lather himself in baby oil before the match. It's kind of his gimmick in the match. So up until he gets to the building and then he gets ready for his match, he does not cover himself in baby oil like you would think. He only uses it for his match. And then post-match, he probably just goes and takes a shower because he doesn't want the baby oil to lock it all in.
Was he on Dynamite? Is he still around? What are we talking about here?
Well, that's the stinky balls drop that Tony played with John Silver and Alex Reynolds recruiting Michael Nakazawa to the Dark Order a couple weeks ago on Being the Elite. So that's how we got there.
So maybe John Silver knows something we don't know. Maybe he does have smelly balls.
That's nobody's business but his.
Well, you know, get him on the Twitter machine and send him over the Code Wizards. He'll tell him to use it at Manscaped. He won't have smelly balls anymore.
You know what, Tony? That's not entirely true. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. You may buy the Manscaped products, but if you don't use them, they are rendered useless.
It's a very good point.
How do you know he won't use them? The guy uses baby oil.
I don't know, Tony. I don't know if there's a language barrier there. I don't know if a ball... revitalizer means something different in Japanese. I don't know.
Yes.
Isn't he from China? Isn't he one of the Chinese guys
it's all the same. Let's just be
all right.
What? Japan, China, you say tomato, I say tomato.
Matt, your hair is looking very Tony Schiavone-esque.
Thank you very much. I took a shower before I started the show. I'm really like
it's glistening and it's long and it's weird.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I can't. The sports clips over by me, like I said last time I went there, it was fine. But when they gave me the hot towel on the face, she wouldn't let me take off my mask. And I thought I was going to fucking die. So I'm kind of avoiding it. Yeah, it's bad, man.
No, Matt, let me ask you something. I don't know if it's just the light or maybe you're out in the sun. Are you dying it?
My hair?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely not, Kevin. You can see the gray in my beard. I have zero care for. No, I just don't think my hair ever gets this long.
You said
very Schiavone-esque.
Yeah, you say Tony Schiavone. I think I could do one, maybe two better.
All right.
First, I'd go with Bruce Pritchard.
All right.
And then to top it off, for number one answer, I would go Dean Douglas.
Yeah, both accurate.
Dean Douglas mid-90s haircut right there.
Nice. It's not a haircut. It's just the way it grows. I don't know what to tell you.
But it's all right. But it's weird. Like, it's like growing in a way that like it seems combed.
It's not combed. If I take the headphones off.
All right. Let's see this. Let's try this.
Yeah, wow, it's just poofy.
Looks glorious.
I don't like it.
I don't know. I think it's just the way the light is like shining directly on top of it. Like you have like this angelic Tony Schiavone, Bruce Pritchard, Dean Douglas hue. Like it's I don't know. If people in the Facebook, maybe they could chat about it. Are they around here? Let's see what's going on here. But yeah, I like it.
We are live on the Facebook. We are live on Rant EM Radio, rantemradio.com. And we are available in podcast form. If you downloaded us, thank you as well for joining us and listening in. And we've got a humdinger of a show tonight.
And let me ask you this. Oh, here we go. That's what I'm talking about. He's doing the spin gimmick too. Can you do this? Can you do the whole chair? Can you do a 360, man?
No,
yes, right there. Don't break everything.
I have fantastic hair. I almost choked myself with my headphone cord.
We're all dropping everything here. All right, so let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Tony mentioned how you can listen to us or live in Facebook podcast form. The Spotify thing this year, was that way more complicated for me to figure out than it was last year?
In terms of what?
Like how many listens we got and like how many – remember how like last year we had like our most downloaded episodes? I couldn't figure it out this year.
Yeah, they didn't – that's because they didn't show our most downloaded episodes this year.
Oh, that'll do it.
And I don't know why. The Spotify thing.
All right, so there's a conversation that goes absolutely nowhere.
That's okay. Let's go somewhere because what a fucking week in pro wrestling. War Games was last night, but AEW winter is coming. Two huge, ginormous takeaways. One, Sting.
Oh yeah.
What'd you guys think of the Stinger popping up on TNT?
Legitimately. I just happened to turn it on like literally right when like the beatdown started. And I'm like, all right, this is it. This is like the big surprise. This is like winter is coming. This is going to be it. Did not see Sting coming. Did not see it at all remotely. Loved it. Loved it. Popped huge. The moment was so perfect. It was done so incredibly well. If you tried to do it a million times over, you probably wouldn't be able to succeed once. That's how good it was. And I don't care what anyone says about Sting. He's old. He had a bad run in WWE. He was in TNA for God knows how long, way past his prime. I don't care. If you were watching AEW Dynamite this past Wednesday and you did not completely lose your shit, then you're doing it wrong. Because I legitimately like made an out loud reaction, which I don't do in wrestling hardly ever. So 100% loved it. Darby Allin and Sting together could be amazing if that's the direction they want to go. T-Donk, talk me off this ledge.
The debut was cool. Disappointed because I was expecting Katie Lee Burchill to come out because she's winter. And I brought it up in the Discord. I don't know what you do with Sting at this point. I mean, do you have him at ringside with Darby Allin where Sting is like 6'3" and Darby Allin's like 5' whatever, and half the size of Sting? Do you have him go back to Main Event Mafia Sting and get a little more polished look and represent someone? Do you have him as somebody in the belfry that Darby Allin can go to periodically and just keep him backstage and like lend a hand and produce and, you know, maybe get into a Jerry Lynn role? I just don't know what you do with a Stinger. And I'm kind of getting tired of just bringing these guys in and just putting them at ringside with random people where they really don't do anything. You know?
Tony, you're throwing cold water all over me, my man.
You asked for my opinion, brother. That's what I'm here for.
So you weren't excited when you saw Sting? Did you see it live, by the way?
Yeah, I saw it and I was excited, but then it's like, okay, the next question is, where do we go from here?
But you
we get angry all you want, brother.
Not angry.
They announce him as a multi-year deal. Fine. But what do you do with him?
All right.
Where do you see Sting being?
See, that's a legit question, but I ask it with like a way more positive tone than like,
I can't wait to see what they're going to do with Sting. Is that better?
No, but you know what I mean? Like in terms of like automatically saying, all right, well now what are you going to do with them? Like, you know, I forgot, I didn't get a chance to do that last week because of the flooding. But lives are going to be in William Mercer's hands.
Well, you'll get a chance to do it in about an hour. Don't worry about it. Of course. So look, Arn Anderson fits with Cody. He looks like a fucking, he looks like a coach. He's got the clipboard. He's giving Cody direction. Do this, do that. Fine. Tully, to like a lesser extent, I'm fine with him, but I mean, at least he gets involved a little bit, but for the most part, he just stands around. Jake cuts promos. That's all Jake does. And then like Lance Archer can do all that shit himself, to be honest with you. So does Jake really need to be him? And not only that, but Jake is almost as tall as he is anyway. It's like weird having this giant guy representing another giant guy. Taz makes sense. By the way, our first guest is in the queue already. So I don't know if we want to go to him. Don't shake your head at me. You book these guys.
Oh, I had such a good thought.
Go ahead. He's in the waiting room. We can wait. I just want to let Matt know.
Finish your thought, Kev, and then we can jump into him and get him in and out real fast.
See, I think I'm looking at this with like more of excited, like what, like not like what are they gonna do with him, but like, oh man, what are they gonna do with him? Like, are they going to, like, if he's a second to Darby Allin, I think that works so well because their characters mesh so perfectly well, and Sting can be that like advisor to Darby. Like Sting, like it's like, God, like I can't think of a comparison off the top of my head, but I couldn't think, if that's where they go, I couldn't think of a better way to not only strap the rocket to Darby, which they've been trying to do. He's the TNT champion, stop and start and this and that, injury, this and that. I think it's absolutely perfect, and I'm excited to see what they do. I know he's old. Maybe it leads to physical stuff. Maybe it doesn't. Who knows? I'm just pumped. I'm excited.
Yeah, you just have to tune in to see what, you know. Look, I don't think anyone thinks he's going to be a fucking full-time wrestler. He's not going to go in there. He's not going to beat Jungle Boy and MJF. He's not going to rack up a ton of wins and be your world champion. But there's, you know, I talked about it Wednesday night. You could do something where he tags with Cody and, you know, he's super protected. And then his only offense is the Stinger Splash and maybe a back body drop and a Scorpion Deathlock or something like that. You know, to Kevin's point, he's 61. He is an older fellow, but he puts on the makeup and he can hide, you know.
It's what I've been saying about Dustin Rhodes for the last, like, 20 years. It's like Dustin Rhodes gets older, but not only is he a tremendous athlete, you put the face paint on him, it's like he's Muda did it. Like the face paint is such a disguise for your age. Granted, it can't make up for what you can do athletically, but if it could take away from it for at least a little bit, it's perfect. Like Sting looked like a star. I hate the t-shirt over the tights. Oh, that's a little pet peeve. Hate that he wore t-shirts in his later years. But other than that, oh God, I'm excited.
Tony, if our guest is ready, can you bring him in? Because I know he grew up watching the NWA, and I'd like to get maybe his take on the Stinger, if he's ready.
Well, I think he is, because there he is in the bottom of the screen right there. Mr. Crean, how are you tonight, brother? We'll get him. He's connecting right now. We're good.
Mr. Crean, how are you?
What's up, guys?
Not much. Thank you for joining us tonight. Talk a little MLW and all things wrestling, Logan Creed. But we were in the midst of talking about the Stinger, and I know that you grew up an NWA fan.
I did.
So the thought of seeing Sting after 20-something years on TNT, as a fan, what did that mean to you?
You know, it doesn't matter how many times you see him. I think it's always the same, you know, every time. And I guess maybe because from a kid, you know, he was the guy, you know, he was always my guy. So it never really changes. I've rewatched that spot from the other night, probably 20 times. And, you know, it's the same feeling every time. And it's just nostalgia. I mean, it feels good. It's a feel good moment. And you know how much he's given, you know, to what we do. and what he's meant to what we do. So it's just one of those things, man. It always gets me, and it's inspirational because you look at that and you know that that's the kind of impact you want to have in this business. Is I want to have that same effect. You know what I mean? So it's an awesome feeling.
Do you prefer Surfer Sting or Crow Sting?
I prefer Surfer Sting, man. I'm old school.
Woo! Yeah! Surfer Sting's the best. Look, Surfer Sting, I'm all about Surfer Sting. The look.
Listen, man. We sat outside of the Augusta I forgot the name of the auditorium, but they were handing out Sting watches, pink Sting watches. It was Clash of the Champions. I can't remember what year. But the first 500 fans in the building got pink Sting watches, and we were there early to make sure we got a watch. So,
man,
that's so awesome. I mean, do you still have the watch?
Absolutely not. Which is crazy because I kept so much stuff from when I was a kid. But no, I don't have it.
It's one of those things where you kind of kick yourself and you wish you had hung on to it. You can see the wrestling figures behind me. I had them as a kid and then got rid of them. And then as an adult, I was like, I got to get those things back.
You got to get them all back.
For nostalgia. So that's where we are with that. But Logan Creed, part of the MLW restart. How's that been for you? 2020 has been a shit show for everybody. It seemed like after you left the Dynasty, you were on your way up. You were going to star in Gut Cruncher. And then this COVID nonsense happened, and it seemed to put a halt on everybody's wrestling career.
You know, it did. And the movie, you know, that the movie actually did, you know, we finished it, and it's still kind of being bounced around. There's a whole lot more to that than I even understood. You know, that all kind of happened so fast. So I'm kind of learning about the movie industry as it kind of moves forward, but there's a lot of things that happen once a movie is done. It has to be bought, you know, and then put out whether it be Netflix or Shudder, which is what they were trying for. They did do a premiere for it in Atlanta at a drive-in theater, and I wasn't even able to attend, so I still haven't seen it. But no, it was a tough year. But at the same time, you know, it's everything's a test. Life's always a test. And this is just another test for all of us this time. You know, everybody was kind of in the same boat and we were all trying to figure out what to do next. And you've seen guys that have been able to, you know, take advantage of AEW Dark. So many young talents from here in Georgia have really taken that opportunity and ran with it. And, you know, now you see them every week. And I'm super proud of those guys and I'm super happy for them. You know, and then, you know, MLW, we were kind of in the waiting game too. We didn't really know what we were going to do. And thankfully we finally got to the restart, and I think it's been a huge success. The buzz about it is, you know, great. And I think moving forward, it's going to continue to get better.
Yeah. The Opera Cup is happening as we speak, and it's must see TV, on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock on YouTube. And then, DAZN, BN Sports. It's you got to catch it. Kevin, I know you had a question for Mr. Creed.
Yeah, he just mentioned talking about seeing guys on like AEW Dark, and it seems like MLW has always been on the front of working relationships with other companies. It seems like they're always like the at the forefront of doing that. Can you speak a little bit to MLW and their vigorousness in terms of expanding how they're viewed and what they can do as a company?
They, you know, Court's constantly working on new partnerships. I think that's something that's really big to him. And, you know, I don't know all the behind the scenes and then how, you know, his mind works, but I will say just from what I do see, he's looking to expand our market to to different places in the world outside of just the United States. And I find that very interesting because that's not really something that anyone else has done. You know, people are looking for partnerships here, but they're not really looking for the opportunities that are out there. You know, the WWE's went over to the UK, you know, all at TNA and, you know, our Impact and New Japan, they had a working relationship for a long time. So there's opportunities out there. And I think he sees those opportunities. And I think those are the ones that you're going to start seeing more of in the coming months, especially the new year, as long as we're able to get back out and actually travel overseas. I think there's going to be some big things that are going to happen.
And if awesome. if you're watching MLW every Wednesday night, you know they're doing big things. Court is seems like every day he's tweeting that he's going into an important meeting or he's working on some big surprise. Now, if I'm out of turn speaking here, I apologize. But big surprise to me, Wednesday night, I sit down on my couch, I throw on the MLW, and here comes Mads Kruger. And I said, this fucking guy, he looks so familiar. I mean, Contra's just trying to destroy MLW. It's breaking my heart. I mean, anything to say about that, Mr. Creed?
You know, I can tell you that that is not Logan Creed. That's all I can tell you. I can tell you that Mads Kruger and Logan Creed are not the same person, and there will never be a connection made between the two.
Now, is that the big man battles? Is that something you look forward to?
Absolutely. You know, that's a match that for so long people kind of turned their nose to. And if you look back at history, you know, how many times did you see two big guys have just a classic match? And it's not often because for years, you know, you didn't always have a guy like Taker that could go. You couldn't find two of those guys in the same company. Now it's changing. I always tell people, you know, everybody used to say being a big guy was easy to make in this business. I think that changed, especially in the last few years. It's not that easy anymore because the crowds are different. The fans want a different product. They want to see something different. They still love it to see a big, huge guy come out, but they want to see him do the things that you know, guys my size didn't used to do. And that's what they're looking for. And so now when you find guys that are 6'8", 7 foot tall, that are able to go out and captivate and put on a really great show, it speaks volumes for the athletic ability that we have and how far we've come.
No, absolutely. When you go, you know, you go back, I just finished the Andre the Giant book, and you know, him against Big John Studd in a body slam match on paper sounds like a great idea. And then you watch it, and you realize that, you know, Andre is not in the best shape. But man, they could tell a story with like a couple simple moves. And now you fast forward to, you know, guys like you and Paro, you guys are giant, giant men, and you move like cats. It's unbelievable the way that wrestlers have evolved. What does the future in MLW hold for Logan Creed? Do you have your eyes on Hammerstone? We know the relationship with the Dynasty soured, and he's got that middleweight championship. So Holiday's running around with that fake Caribbean championship. It's fake. You didn't even go to the Caribbean. Philadelphia is not even close to the Caribbean. And if you clipped it from Savio Vega, that doesn't mean it's yours.
Caribbean adjacent.
And we saw it last time. I saw MLW Live was in Philadelphia, and you were involved with Mance and Savio against the Dynasty. Has that chapter closed? Have you moved on, or is the Dynasty in
that
your
chapter's closed? And you know, without digging too deep into this, because I don't want to ruin it. There's a really big future with what's coming for me in MLW, and I'm excited about it. I'll tell you that. You know, it's nice to finally have my feet planted in something. I'm a big guy. I love storytelling. That's why I love wrestling. And you know, to capitalize on what I was just talking about, great matches are great, but you remember the stories. Yeah. And if they have both, that's the ones you really remember. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great. Everyone involved is excited about it. So it should be really fun moving forward.
Sorry, Tony, go ahead. I know you're like the MLW guy. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I mean, we were talking about big men, and somebody that's been impressing me, and I told Matt last week when I saw his debut, Calvin Tankman looks like a guy with another year or two of seasoning. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with. Impressions on Calvin Tankman and anybody else who might impress you in MLW at this point?
No, I was so happy to see Tankman come on board. You know, I've seen his stuff on the independent scene. Haven't had the chance to work with him. So obviously looking at him being there now, I see the opportunity is right there in front of me, you know, that eventually that could happen, and it could happen on that stage. So that's always a big deal. I tell the people this all the time, there's nobody on that roster that I don't look forward to working with. You got guys on there that I've never had the opportunity to work with before. So it's just an open door of opportunity, of new matches, of new stories, and, you know, and a whole bunch of things that I haven't done yet and people haven't seen yet.
Yeah, the stories are fantastic. I mean, you know, you see guys like the Von Erichs and you know, possibly joining up with Hammerstone. You know, they've got a history with the Dynasty. And then you've got Contra, who's gearing up. And then you've got another story with Selena De La Renta, still, you know, like, you know, in bitter battle with Conan. So there's just so much great stuff going on. I'm really looking forward to see what you got. I mean, a little hint anywhere, something you could spoil for us?
You just got to watch, man. That's all I can say. It's, you know, it's all going to intertwine and it's all going to come back around. And I think it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a fun ride, you know, so just stay on board.
It's great too. Sorry. Just to add, when I watched the first episode for the restart and, you know, Myron Reed was in there with Pillman Jr. And it looked like he hadn't lost a step. And now he's even calling out Fat too. Like, he wants the world championship. Right. So it's just crazy how, like you said, everything's starting to intertwine and all these stories are coming together. And it's good to see that MLW with the restart is getting back, you know, like right into the groove and just off and running, which is awesome. Right. Yeah, Matt, sorry, you had something? Did you have something?
I was going to make fun of another competitor.
Go ahead.
No, because we talked about it. When you see Tom Lawler in the Daisy Dukes, and I know he's an MMA fighter, you're like, Tom, what the fuck are you doing, bro? I know he's a legit badass, but I could not focus on that match last week because he had his fucking butt cheeks were hanging out, man. I was like, what am I watching, Tom Lawler? What are you doing? And I know on commentary they played it up like he likes to get inside of people's heads, but he got in my head, and I was just sitting at home on my couch. But that locker room, I mean, you have, you know, the big guys like yourself, you have Fatu, you have Hammerstone and Holiday, and then you have like the MMA guys, King Mo. I can't stand King Mo. I think he's the worst.
Really?
What?
You gonna do this now?
I just want to know if I got to grease a palm, we can get a little, you know, Jacques Rougeau, Dynamite Kid situation. What? I can't stand King Mo in the ring. First of all, him and Tom Lawler are the fucking worst together. That whole stable. What? They're heels. They're supposed to be hated. I can't stand them. Tom Lawler was such a great guy. He was the champion. Then he turned his goddamn back on the Von Erichs. Now he's got Dominic Greeny. Looks like he works at the goddamn Whataburger. He's wearing his shorts and his gi. And I know he's a killer. I know they're all killers. But I don't like him, goddammit. I'm sorry. I'm very fired up. King Mo really irks me.
Was there a question for Logan in there, Matt?
No, there wasn't. He felt like he had a vent.
I'm sorry, Mr. Creed. That was...
No, you're totally fine. Get it out, man. You got to let it out sometimes.
If you ever listen to this show, I let it out all the time. It's usually not from my mouth either. Logan Creed, let me, as a comic book guy, Marvel guy, is that a kind of marriage of Wolverine and Sabretooth?
That's it. Yeah, exactly where you come from.
A big comic book guy?
Yeah, no, especially growing up. You know, I don't really collect anymore. Right. Still into to hot toys and collecting toys. If you ever go to my YouTube channel, there's an actual video of my entire collection you can check out.
Oh.
I'll send you guys over the link so you can check it out.
What's the YouTube channel? Please give it a plug.
It's just it's the Logan Creed. I believe that's right. Listen, I'm terrible with YouTube. I never post anything on YouTube, mostly because everything now is on Fight TV or Independent Wrestling TV, so I don't have to keep up with it anymore, thank God.
So with this MLW restart, which is in full gear right now, where do you see – is this a restart for you as well, or are you still just going to be kicking ass, taking names, doing what you've always done, or are you going to try to and look to do something new with this whole new world that we're living in?
No, I think, well, I mean, obviously, you know, tongue in cheek, but you know, you're seeing it, you're seeing the new, and this is what it's going to be. And no, I'm excited about it. You know, I think, you know, we talk a lot about being artists. You hear that's a new thing that, you know, we're artists. Well, if you're really an artist, then you can paint multiple types of pictures and different types of, you know, canvases. So this is an opportunity for me to paint a whole new picture. and tap into a whole other side of you know, me and who I am. So I'm excited about it, and I think it's going to be great.
Well, I think I can speak for the three of us when I say we look forward to it. MLW is doing amazing things, and there's still more to come. As we move forward with the restart, and you working in front of the dynamic that you see on TV with no fans, the no crowd thing, it's almost starting to become a normality with us watching wrestling. For you, though, and I know you came up through the indies, and I'm sure you wrestled in front of like four people once. Every wrestler does.
Multiple occasions.
How different is it when you're doing this and you're taping it and there's nobody there? And how much do you feed off of the reaction of the crowd when hopefully we get back to that?
You know, the crowd is such a huge part of what we do. And I don't think I really understood it until there wasn't one there. You know what I mean? Like, until they weren't there and I didn't have that connection to make, because sometimes you're doing things based on what they're doing, you know, what the crowd's doing. So it changes everything. You know, it really, really changes everything when they're not there. And, you know, you say like, well, I'm sure you wrestled in front of four people on indies. Well, sure, but still the four people were doing something.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just a camera, you know, so it changes things. But I think at the same time, you know, you're professional and you know what you're doing, and you know that there's still people through that camera that are watching, and they're going to be watching. So you kind of get in the mindset where you're still putting on a performance and a show for those people. So, you know, it's different, but at the same time, once you get to a certain point, you go out and you do what you need to do.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You're still getting views. You're still building to something that people have to pay for at some point, whether it be a pay-per-view or this and that. So you can't take a day off. You can't mail it in. So that's a 100% a great point that I never really even thought of until right now.
Yeah. And dude, I'm going to tell you what really impresses me is on some of these indie shows out here where, you know, the crowds are restricted, the numbers are restricted, especially here in the state, Georgia. One show, Action Wrestling, you know, they're restricted to 35 fans, I think, in the building, where, you know, they're used to drawing 200-300 a show. And so they upped the ticket prices for the shows, like, tremendously. Yeah. We're talking huge prices. And they're packing, they're selling it out every time. These people are paying. And that means so much to me to know that these people are willing to do that because they appreciate what we do that much, you know? So that speaks volumes for the kind of fans that wrestling has, top to bottom, man. You know, these people, they love it, and they're following us, and they've never had a bigger platform to follow us on than now, because you have so much content out there.
No, absolutely. You talk about doing business. December 26th, the longest reigning Anarchy champion takes on the current Anarchy champion, Shane Marks. It'll be on Fight TV, $9.99. If you order now, you get a $2 credit to Fight TV. Talk about your relationship with Anarchy Wrestling and you know, being the flag bearer, so to say, with being the longest reigning champion.
Yeah, that time in my life and my career was really huge for me. You know, that was literally right before and during when everything with MLW started happening. So that entire year leading up, I really come into my own as a professional wrestler. I was hitting another gear. I mean, I was training 3 or 4 days a week with Austin Theory. And we were working out in the ring together, which, you know, was awesome. And then we were on the road together, and I was working as more than I ever had before. And, I was coming to my own. You know, the confidence was there. I you know, figured out who I was and who I wanted to be. And then, you know, of course, the history of Anarchy, which dates back to NWA Wildside and Bill Bearings, and, you know, that's where AJ Styles come from. And, you know, there's so much history in that building. And so to have those guys' backings, have Bill Bearings' backings, and have Rick Michaels' backing, you know, it was big. It was huge for me because they knew that I could handle it, and they wanted me to carry it. They wanted me to carry that name. So it's huge to go back. You know, it's been a while. I haven't been back in almost 2 years. So I'm excited about, you know, December 26th. It's going to be a big night, and that match is going to be great.
Yeah, tickets start at $10, and you can order it over a Fight TV app on the Fight app. And like I said, if you order now, you get a $2 credit on the Fight TV app. And, I mean, it's the day after Christmas. You're going to be stuffing your face with ham or turkey or whatever exotic, I don't know, Tony eats exotic meats. Have you ever had a goose? Let's ask Logan Creed. He looks like a man who eats everything, but not like the way I eat everything, because I grow like this way. He grows like with the muscles from Brussels. Have you ever eaten a goose?
A goose, yeah. Probably ostrich and kangaroo. Probably my top two favorites and probably the most unique. I actually I managed a bar at a fine dining restaurant for 5 years. So I had my feel of every exotic meat known to man during that time.
Nice.
Where do you rank goose in the list of birds?
It's not bad. It's not dry. So it's a little bit like, it's not like turkey or something like that. It's not dry meat. So it's a little better. I'm not a fan of turkey unless it's fried, which, you know, I'm from Georgia, so we fry everything. no, it's not bad. It's definitely better than turkey. That's about the best. That and duck. Duck's good too.
Fried turkey's actually made its way up north. Everyone up here in Jersey fries their turkey. Man,
I don't understand why you would eat any other way.
Yeah.
See, well, I think because half the people that live up here burn their houses down when they're trying to fry the turkey.
Yeah.
That's true too.
So you gotta do it out. You do it outside, and you just drink. You drink beer. You fry the turkey. That's just the way you do it. Don't put it in your house, because yes, there's gonna be a fire.
Am I late? When did everybody start hating turkey? Am I late to the party? I just found out that everybody hates turkey.
I like turkey, man. I'm not a man.
There's absolutely nothing special about turkey. It's good for one day a year, and then what? like cold cut turkey. If you want to put turkey on a sandwich, I'm okay with that, but actual like the meat of the get out of here.
So then, why does everyone eat it on Thanksgiving?
I don't know, the pilgrims.
It's fucking like 300 years ago.
Nobody eats turkey, and so they got to get rid of them. So it's like, oh, let's just do this once a year, and that way we're not overstocked on turkeys.
Yeah,
that's
hey man. I made a great turkey.
Just sell turkey. Turkey farmers get rich. That's how they get rich.
Well, there you go. It's like business.
It's like all a work, man.
I like a turkey. I like a turkey over a pheasant. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, pheasant's not so good.
No, it's gross. Yeah. It's gross. It was gamey. It was disgusting. I was worried about the pellets. My wife shot a pheasant like 2 weeks ago. She brought it home.
You're worried about the
buckshot? No, I was worried about everything. She never shot a fucking bird before. I'm going to eat it. She's telling me how she ripped its wings off. I got wings all over the fucking porch. Come on, man.
You find little pellets in it when you eat it?
No, I found nothing. That's it was clean.
That's a thing. That's a thing sometimes when you kill your own. Yeah.
No, I don't see. I don't want. I can't. I'm too much in my head. Is that how I want to die? Choking on a pellet? Jesus Christmas. Oh, my God. Logan Creed at the Logan Creed on Twitter. He's part of the MLW Restart. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight. We had a lot of fun. Anything you want to leave the fans with before we let you go?
Guys, just keep supporting us. You know, COVID is going to end eventually. We're going to get a vaccine. Things are going to get some type back to normal, and you're going to be able to go back out and watch these shows live again. And I can't wait. And I know I speak for everybody else, in the business when I say that we can't wait to see you back out at the arenas.
And we can't wait to see you back at the arenas. And every Wednesday night on shut up. Every Wednesday night.
He's choking on a pellet.
Every Wednesday night, youtube.com/Major League Wrestling. DAZN Group. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I know that's like the MMA channel.
I do not know if you're saying that right either, so don't feel bad.
FUBU Sports, BN Sports USA, MLWshop.com is where you can find all your MLW merch. And support, please, Mr. Logan Creed, at the Logan Creed again on Twitter. Give him a follow. Show him some love. And check out his YouTube channel, which I'm excited to look at because we are toy nerds over here. Mr. Yeah, Creed, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your night. Stay safe. We'll talk soon.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Logan. Be well.
Thanks.
Thank you, bro.
Logan Creed, everyone.
I had a good I had a good time with Mr. Logan Creed.
He likes the goose.
He does like the goose. I can't believe he's eating goose.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Kangaroo too, man. I wonder what kangaroo tastes like. Never had the kangaroo.
I feel like everything is like really lean. Like I feel like kangaroo is gonna be like a real lean meat with no fat.
It's probably bouncy.
That's right.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Puts a little pep in your step.
Hi-yo!
So,
Anyway, Kevin, tell me why I shouldn't be upset that Sting is going to have a job.
Oh, God. we're still talking about this?
No, we don't have to.
No, I want to because I think I don't think I got your full – and Matt, I mean, Matt did even chime in on it, really. He mentioned it a little bit about what they talked about on the post-game show.
Well, I think I get Tony's – I kind of I see both sides of the coin. I get Tony, you know, Tony's hesitation. Like, why would you want to see him with Darby Allin? He's much bigger than Darby Allin, and that manager.
Does that
role,
does that matter anymore, Matt? Does that really matter anymore?
It doesn't matter to me, but to some people, old people, it matters.
Like, who's like AJ Styles guy? This guy's a monster, and you got, and he's backing up AJ Styles.
But like, he's like his bodyguard.
To bother AJ Styles. All right, maybe Sting with a bat is Darby's second.
Look, I'm excited. Whatever. Look, I think from a business standpoint, and I talked about it Wednesday night, having Sting on TNT is huge because there are a ton of wrestling fans who, no matter where he's been, TNA, WWE, the older wrestling fans who are watching during the Monday Night Wars will equate Sting to WCW.
Right.
No matter what. So having him, if you're flipping channels – or you're watching a basketball game on TNT or a movie or whatever, and fucking Sting is in an AEW commercial, you're like, holy shit, Sting's still wrestling? I have to see
I thought you were going to say Sting was in the rafters at the basketball game, and the lights just go out, and then all of a sudden he's pointing the bat at LeBron James, and LeBron James looks up, and then a vulture flies down.
That would be brilliant!
And it just goes right on the rim. Like, LeBron James is about to go up for, like, a dunk or whatever, and then all of a sudden a vulture just lands and rejects LeBron James. Get out of here, King James. You're not Sting. You're not a vulture. Get out of here.
So now Sting is carrying vultures who play basketball.
That's right.
That's
going to be the new expansion team.
I mean, you got to evolve with the times, right?
I agree. I just think Sting is an asset to no matter what you want to do. I don't care what kind of contract you sign him to. I don't care what kind of money he makes. I don't care what you do with obviously I care what you do with him. But I just think there's no downside to this to me.
Look, I agree. I agree 100%. And we'll see Wednesday night. Tony Schiavone has a sit-down interview with him. And we'll see what the future holds for the Stinger. Look, I think it's a fucking home run. And I think if you're looking to build a wrestling company, it doesn't hurt to have someone like Sting being backstage.
It's a sit-down interview with Schiavone?
I don't know if it's a sit-down interview per se. It might be an in-ring interview with Schiavone.
Okay. All right. That I don't necessarily care for.
If they're doing an in-ring interview with Schiavone, he better have a fucking suit on with some goddamn shoes. None of this mix-and-match sneakers bullshit. Look like a professional, for God's sakes.
He's going to come out with Matt's hair, and he's going to do a great job.
Kevin, do you not want to hear Sting speak?
I don't know if I'm not going to pass judgment until what actually happens. But, like, he came out, he did his little, three corners, Dustin, Cody, Darby, Arn, four corners, and then he just left. I would like to see that go a little bit. Like, I know that the image of Sting is long gone, kayfabe has long been dead, but if you can just project a little bit of it, maybe Sting, what I was really hoping that Sting was going to do with Darby Allin was hand him the bat and then turn around like the NWO days and see if Darby would hit him. Like, that's what I was begging and pining for that. And if they could do something along those lines, so like the next week or two, then I'd be okay. But again, I'm not passing judgment on what's going to happen on Wednesday until it actually happens. It could be great. So,
yeah.
I'm excited. I liked it. It made AEW feel way more important than it had in a long time. And that's not just Sting. That was the whole show.
I'll tell you what. Sting was just the tip of the iceberg. Because the ending of AEW, I think in the dichotomy of professional wrestling, who works with who, honestly, AEW and Impact, whether it be, and a lot of reports are saying this is going to be like a one-off thing, and we might get like a Young Bucks versus the Good Brothers match.
Yeah.
But Impact working with AEW, well, well played. And I know, Kevin, you watch Impact every Tuesday night.
That's right.
And what a fucking talented roster. The potential dream matches. I mean, and to catch people up, if you didn't see it, at the end of the AEW World Championship match, Kenny Omega wins with the help of Don Callis. And the story they told throughout the match was this was going to be a gentleman's match. So to stay with, they weren't going to use weapons. They were just going to make it a natural wrestling match. And then Don Callis hands Kenny Omega a microphone, and he beats the ever-living dog shit out of Jon Moxley with it and eventually wins. And then...
What, doesn't he hit him once?
He hit him once,
come
dude.
On, we got to sell it for the people that didn't see it, man.
What? We don't work for AEW. Call it like it is.
Yeah, then they go back and then they say, oh, you're a liar, Matt. And I say, oh, at least you listen to the fucking show, sucker.
Sucker?
Sucker.
Can you dig it? Sucker!
But then Don Callis grabs Kenny Omega and they take off and they run past a very angry Tony Khan and the boys in the back. And then Dave Marquez jumps out from behind Alex Marvez jumps out from behind the satellite truck.
Dave Marquez.
Boogity, 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 boogity.
I mean, Dave Marquez wishes he was doing something because that's a fucking disaster over there in the UWN NWA world.
They got saved, though, didn't they?
Who?
Didn't they get a bone?
What?
Like, the venue actually closed down, so it wasn't, like, on them. Like, they can still... I don't know. I read something where it's not like they shut their doors. It's like they were forced
to. The state shut them down. Yeah. But it's still a bummer because apparently they were taping all their NWA Shockwave stuff there too. So strap in for a lot of repeat matches that Tony already paid for. But anyway, Tony, Alex Marvez goes to interview Kenny, what are you going to do? What did you do? What are you going to do without the pile driver?
You can't use your pile driver.
And Don Callis says you have to tune in Tuesday night on Impact to see what Kenny has to say. Tony, with the bird, you don't like this either.
Where did this come from? What's the point? I don't get it. I don't get it. There was nothing in story that says Kenny's going to Impact. Was he disgruntled? Was he unhappy? What's his connection with Impact?
Is his connection with Impact.
Fuck Don Callis.
Well, don't just curse when you don't like the answer to your question. You asked what the logic was. That's the logic.
Yeah, where did Don Callis come from? Like, where all of a sudden, like now all of a sudden Kenny Omega's Impact? Like, where did this come from? That's all I want to know. Where did it come from?
Don Callis and Kenny Omega are very close. Don Callis started doing commentary for big time Kenny Omega matches. What was the last pay-per-view? He was there.
He was there for Full Gear.
So planting the seeds, as you like to say, T-Donk. Planting the seeds. Now, if this I don't expect. First of all, I didn't. Once Don Callis even said that, I was like, all right, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe that AEW is going to Impact when I see it. But clearly, it's at least a thing for a little bit. And T-Donk, negativity. I gotta cleanse your aura.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Don Callis is a genius for doing it because now he's going to get a fucking maybe a million pairs of eyes on Impact, which good for him. I don't see how this benefits how it benefits AEW at all, to be honest with you. Your world champion just leaves and runs to another promotion out of the blue. It's like, no, I don't.
That's not the gimmick. That's not the angle.
We don't know what the angle is. Where did it come from? That's my question.
But we know he's not
this
going
is fucking
to Cotton Impact.
Eye Joe. Where did you come from and why did you go?
He's not signed with Impact, Tony.
But he's your world champion. All of a sudden he goes, and fucking Tony Khan, if he's going to fucking kayfabe us that he didn't know what was happening, he should fucking not have a smile on his face when Kenny Omega's running past him to a fucking waiting vehicle.
First of all, did anyone even realize that was Tony Khan?
Yeah, I fucking knew it.
Looked like a Boy Scout selling cookies.
He was like, hey, congratulations. God. And they were like, fuck you, dude. We're leaving. Impact Tuesday.
This looks like somebody brought their kid to get homeschooled or like take your kid to work day. He took off his headset like he was playing Turtle Beach Xbox.
And the Young Bucks are the worst, dude. They run by them in the back. They're like, what's going on? What are you doing?
Oh, God, Tony, you are just
kick him in the dick. Where the fuck are you going? Get back here. It's 2-on-1. They can't beat him up. He just went to war with Jon Moxley.
he's their friend. They are tight. They are the elite. You think, what? Why would you turn your back on us? What are you doing, buddy? Well, you're not going to attack him.
Why not? Bruno Sammartino attacked Macho Man when he beat up Ricky Steamboat. That's what brothers do, man. That's the bond.
Never has there been a more relevant analogy.
Hold on. Did you say Bruno Sammartino beat up Macho Man when he attacked Ricky Steamboat? That's what brothers do. Bruno Sammartino and Ricky Steamboat aren't related, Tony.
But they're boys. There's a bond between faces. There's a bond between people. You protect your own.
Tony, it's fucking 2020.
These
it's
guys are executives in the company, and they're letting them run out the door with their championship.
But he's not going anywhere.
He's going to Tuesday nights, Kevin. Did you not hear what he said to Alex Marvez?
He said Tuesday night.
Literal, literal Tony is here tonight to ruin the show. It's a fucking story, Tony. We're creating interest for Impact. We're creating interest for a possible Impact versus AEW feud.
Yeah, Tony.
You don't want to see the Young Bucks against the Good Brothers?
First of all, I don't even know if that would happen.
No, I don't. I'd rather see FTR versus the Motor City Machine Guns.
Look, I'm all with you. FTR against the North? Come on.
All right, but let me ask you this question then. What makes you think all these things are a possibility?
Because of what happened Wednesday night, that means there's some kind of relationship. Now, if it turns into this is going to become like an 8-week story, I highly doubt that.
No.
I think you're going to see Kenny Omega on Impact tomorrow night. He's going to say his piece, whatever he needs to say, to further the storyline, Tony. The Young Bucks didn't know that he was going to run off. They probably planned it because wrestling is scripted.
Yeah.
They planned running by everybody in the locker room. I think if they were planning a getaway, they would have had him run out a different door, wouldn't you?
No.
I mean, if you robbed the bank, you wouldn't run past the police station on your way to the getaway car.
Tony, it's COVID. They have certain procedures. You got to go certain directions. You can't just
walk. Nobody was wearing a mask, Kevin.
The idea is, the champion, the guy who's going to be the face of your company, just ran past the company out the fucking back door and said, nah, 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 I'm going That's to right. Tuesday nights. That's the fucking story.
You got to find out on Tuesday. Him and Don Callis are, like you said, Tony, bros.
That's right. There's a brotherhood there.
That's right. They're like Macho Man and Bruno, baby. I think they actually mentioned that in the promo.
Yeah. Don Callis said, I am the Bruno Sammartino. That's to right. His Ricky Steamboat.
That's it.
No, he didn't.
Stop. No, he said, sure. I am the Bruno Sammartino. You are the Larry Zbysko.
That's right. And I think we're all on the same page here, where I think the culmination of this Impact AEW feud is an inevitable main event of the Tokyo Dome with Kenny Omega versus Brian Myers.
Fucking sign me up. In the Tokyo
Dome. Really? I thought that was going to get...
No, I just want to. I just want to fucking aggravate Tony because he's all fucking ornery.
Want to aggravate me? Can we talk about Chris Jericho, Frankie Kazarian?
Real quick, Tony, I do want to agree with you on one thing.
Oh, thanks. Kick me while I'm down and lend a hand. Thanks, Simon.
What does this do for
AEW? Carry the cross for me, Simon.
I will. I will carry. I will carry all the cross.
Crucifixion, and then you're like, oh, I'll help him out a little bit.
That's right. I mean, you got wood panels there. We can make something out of that.
Go ahead.
Tony, your background is different. You're facing a different way. You're not even against the wall. What does this do for AEW, Tony? Nothing.
Yeah.
So that's fair.
Point. Yeah.
That's a very fair point, but not everything's about being a bad guy. Not everything's about being selfish. Help out Impact Wrestling. And first of all, they will not get 1 million views because only 100,000 people watched it last week. So they're not getting 1 million views on Access TV. But if anything, it helps out Impact. It's the same thing Vince McMahon did for ECW. It's the same thing. Working relationships happen. And I think, if anything, and I mentioned it with Logan, MLW was always at a forefront of trying to work with other companies. This is good news. No matter how long it lasts, this is good stuff.
Okay.
All right, that's it.
Good.
I don't know. Matt looked like you had something to chime in on that.
No, I did not. I think everybody wins in this situation. And look, we don't know where this goes. The possibilities are endless. If it gets extra eyes on Impact and they gain more fans, and you know, maybe there's a small pocket of people who don't watch AEW that watch Impact. Maybe they tune in Wednesday night. It's not gonna. We're not looking at like 2 million fucking views on both shows. That's not gonna happen.
No,
but
no,
everybody wins. It does not hurt anybody.
And who doesn't love like these kind of anything can happen scenarios? Like who's to say like next week on AEW like the you know the Good Brothers and the North and Chris Bay and these guys just can't show up. Willie Mack, they just can't show up and just. You don't know, and that's why it's been a long time since we can actually say that with actual like assurance that we don't know what's gonna happen, which is completely ironic as a phrase. With like NXT and WWE, those invasions, you kind of know because they're all under the same umbrella. Right. These are not the same umbrellas.
No,
it's
what
good.
What are you gonna do when Johnny Swinger attacks Michael Nakazawa?
Oh God, don't Matt.
Why? That'd be fucking gold.
Johnny Swinger die? Who died?
No, Johnny Bravo. He's not dead.
Yeah, and oh God, man, that's save that for being the elite, Swinger and Nakazawa. Save that for whatever show that gets 8 million views.
It's the possibilities are endless. I think this is awesome. And I can't wait to watch Impact tomorrow night when I get home from work, and Wednesday night the same thing. Dynamite. Like
I agree, Matt. And let's be honest, if it wasn't like there was speculation since AEW started that they were going to be working with somebody, whether it was Ring of Honor, New Japan. Like everyone in the back of their mind thought that something they were going to be working with somebody else. Why can't it be Impact? Let it ride.
Look, they have a super fucking talented roster. They have a super strong women's division, which would help AEW. And I mean, look at the fucking. You're telling me you don't want to see, you know, like Ricky Starks and Rich Swann?
The matchups are like Moose and Brian. I mean, even though Brian Cage just left,
sure.
Lance Archer, Moose, like Brian Myers, anybody?
Yeah, Jake something against fucking Lance Archer, Eddie Kingston. Who cares? Whatever, give it to me.
Oh, you mentioned Eddie Kingston. What was that bullshit at the end of the episode where he came out and he started yelling in the microphone, and they're like, "We gotta go."
That was supposed to be dark, probably. Not AEW dark, but that was probably supposed to be post-show for the live crowd.
You caught that, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, that was done to try. They wanted to try and set up an angle with Lance Archer.
But like 30 seconds left on the show where we just had this like major fucking ball drop where Kenny Omega ran off.
I think that was an error, and I think that was literally supposed to be for the live crowd only.
No, that was meant for TV.
What, Eddie Kingston not being on camera and calling out Lance Archer?
Yep.
Well, I know they're doing the thing where Eddie is now with, Eddie's with the Butcher and the Blade, and Lance Archer's with
the Lucha Brothers, Phoenix and Pentagon. Yeah, 6-man tag action next week.
Oh,
or
maybe it was
Wednesday this week, whatever.
Wait, so did you guys talk about this on Wednesday that you all thought it was planned?
No, it was like planned. I read that it was planned. It was. I mean, it's weird. It's weird that you would try and put that in there, right? But I guess they were going for that like spontaneous thing. I don't know.
Right. If it was meant to look like it appeared like it was supposed to be just for the live show and it just caught. If that's the case, then that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it was just done like there was no like match after the show afterwards or whatever. It was just done like to seem like Eddie Kingston didn't give a shit about this and he wanted to get his hands on Lance Archer.
No, all right, that's pretty cool.
Now, Tony, what's your problem with Chris Jericho and Frankie Kazarian?
What the fuck is going on with the inner circle? What is going on with the inner circle? We've had months of storylines. Are they in? Are they not? Are they friends? Are they not? And all this shit goes down, overbooked. Fine, I'll accept that. But then Chris Jericho's like, next week we're going to have another meeting and we're going to decide if we're going to break up. You're the fucking leader. You don't like somebody, throw them the fuck out. That's what heels do. Stop being a dick. What is it with the meetings? Are they fucking corporate? We need a meeting. We have to check this. We should call HR and find out. You're fucking Chris Jericho. You're supposed to be in charge. You can't fucking just say, hey, fucking shithead, you're gone. Or I'm going to watch the tape. I'm going to throw your ass out if I caught you fucking doing it. And nobody on commentary brings up the fact that MJF did that same shit to Cody because he's a fucking conniving little shit. They just seem to forget that. That's perfect fucking story right there. Continuity. And nobody brings it up.
how do you know they won't bring that up on Wednesday night when Jericho says,
but why didn't fucking Excalibur, who knows every fucking championship every woman's ever won from now to Kingdom Come, he doesn't fucking mention a pivotal story point?
Because maybe it's not Excalibur's story to tell.
He's the commentator. He's got to tell everybody's story. It's not about him. It's about what's going on in the ring.
Tony, I love you. Matt, I think I can speak for you when you say, I love Tony. I love you.
I don't think you do.
I do. I usually I try to get your back whenever I can. It's the two man army. All right, Tony, you hear me? You following me?
Yes. What?
I think you're losing your fucking mind.
I'm not losing my mind.
I think you're out. I think you're completely out to lunch, as they say. I think you need a checkup from the neck up.
Matt, all right, I'm going to ask Matt a few questions. Oh. Number one, do you think that match was a little overbooked?
Do I think it was overbooked from what stance?
Overbooked. Too many spoons in that porridge. You had Ortiz jumping on the apron. You had fucking Jake Hager jumping around trying to convince him not to get involved. Uh-huh. Then you had fucking Wardlow and MJF coming out. Then you had fucking What's-His-Nuts coming out. The fucking Spanish God. What the fuck's
Sammy
his name?
Guevara.
You know, all this fucking shit going on at once. Yes. And three of them standing on the fucking stage while the match is going on. That irks me. You know that irks me.
We know you hate the stage.
Hate that. No, I don't hate the stage. I hate when people hang out on the stage. It makes what's going on in the match not important. It makes like these dickheads fucking important. It just bugged me out, dude. It fucking bugged me. I was like, why do we need all this shit?
Because that's the story we're getting told. It's from the fallout from the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal is bleeding over into this. And now next week we get a final verdict. Does the Inner Circle split up? Can they get along? Is MJF a conniving little shit?
Like, look, I was in with the fucking Merry Melodies with the dancing. I was in when they went to Vegas. I was in with MJF fucking with Sammy Guevara. I was in with all that. This fucking shit the whole angle for me. I don't care who's in the fucking Inner Circle anymore. You know what I'd wish? I wish Jericho would go fucking take a bath in his fucking mimosa shit again. I'd rather see him swimming around and do a couple laps than this nonsense. It all went to hell in the span of fucking 7 minutes.
Wow.
It did. What? It did. It right. Fucking, oh, we have to have another meeting. Fuck you. I would say fuck you and your meeting. Come on, Wardlow. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah.
His whole purpose, he wanted to be in the Inner Circle. So why would he just get up and leave?
Because Jericho's a whiny bitch and he should realize that by now.
Yeah, but you don't think he knew that going in? He does.
I wouldn't want to be part of any group where my fucking boss is saying, we're having another meeting.
We have fucking conversations like that all the time.
Yeah, I'd be more worried about group texts than meetings.
Fucking dick.
What, man, you are fucking fired up about AEW, man. So, are you excited for MJF against Orange Cassidy next week?
Really? You want to keep fucking stoking the fire?
Yes, absolutely.
For the ring.
They're going to wrestle for a ring.
That's right.
I'll give them credit. The Battle Royal told some good stories. They actually had a lot of storytelling going on there, whether it was Adam Page getting eliminated, whether there was the shit with Private Party and Matt Hardy, the stuff with the Inner Circle where Sammy gets eliminated by mistake and, you know, all this other nonsense. But fucking, all right, let me ask you this.
All right.
During the span of a match, Orange Cassidy can get hit with, and this isn't just him. This is like everybody. And it goes back to my fucking Roman Reigns sleeping for 30 minutes at a Royal Rumble match.
All right. I'm with you on this, T-Dunk.
So these guys can get fucking hit with chairs and pipes and canes and getting pile driven and fucking Spanish flies and hoop-de-doos over the top and land on concrete and fucking get dropped on guardrails and get right back in the ring and hit the next move. And fucking Orange Cassidy lays on the floor for 10 minutes. Like, really? Really? What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Have him get knocked out later on in the match then, or don't fucking have that spot to begin with.
I mean, he did get attacked by Kip and Miro.
That's right.
Fucking Miro. Was he mad about his fucking video game machine, man? I give Miro credit. He looked like a fucking beast in this match. That's what I was waiting for. Get rid of Sabian. You know what I would love? Miro and Penelope Ford together. Get rid of Sabian. That would be awesome.
Why? I know why. Because it's gonna be him and Lana. That's why. You have Mandela syndrome or whatever it's called. Stockholm
syndrome.
He needs
the beauty to his beast, and Kip Sabian's not deserving of such a radiant beauty.
What is
he's quite handsome.
What did you say? Mandela syndrome? Like Nelson Mandela? Yeah, what is that?
It's like when you remember something that you think happened, but it never really happened.
No, it's Nelson Mandela. You get out of prison.
No, but the whole point, the whole term was coined when everyone thought that Mandela was died in prison and they never did, and he was released like 10 years ago or something like that. It's called Mandela syndrome. But I was thinking of Stockholm syndrome, where you hated something when it happened, but you can't let it go. You want Rusev and Lana in AEW.
No, I want Rusev to get away from Kip Sabian. That's what I want. And I want him to lose his woman. That's what I want.
You want who to lose his woman? That's not nice.
Why is that not nice?
Oh, I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us right now, Ring of Honor's Sledge.
What's up, guys? How are you guys doing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're in a very heated argument. We're arguing about a lot of stuff, but it's good to have you here. Matt.
Okay, what are we arguing about? Tell me what we're arguing about. Give me a topic.
Do you want to? I guess we can.
Do you really want to? Yeah, all right. You want a topic?
I think.
All right, here we go. Go ahead, Tony. This is your baby, so you could fuck this up.
Fuck! Shut up. Give me a chance. The guy just got on the line, and you already throw me under the bus.
Yep.
All right, man.
So I've been talking for a few weeks that Miro should be a badass, and this past Wednesday on Dynamite, he portrayed said badass. I think he needs to get away from Kip Sabian and steal Penelope Ford and just be a badass with a beautiful woman.
All right.
Yeah, there you go, Tony. That's all you need to hear.
He agrees.
No.
No, he doesn't.
File that in the shit that Sledge doesn't care about.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. No.
In fairness, he wanted me
you
to...
You mean, so he, so you saying that he should be like when they brought him first into WWE with Lana is exactly what you're saying.
Okay, well, that was brought up too. But my thing is, it's not necessarily that. It's I wanted him to be a monster. And playing video games with Kip Sabian is not a thing a monster does on camera. You know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of things AEW does on camera that a lot of people don't normally do on camera.
This is true. I would not play a video game machine at ringside while there was wrestling going on, but that's just me. I'd rather watch what's going on in the ring.
100%.
But I just think, like, because I don't like Kip Sabian that much, I think he's weaselly. I think it would be a badass thing for Miro just to, like, kick him to the curb and just run off with Penelope and just, you know, go about his domination quest. I don't think it's a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea. It's, you know, it's just throwing shit at the wall to see what sticks, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
There it is.
Fair enough. I just don't want him stuck as, like, you know, like, you broke my video game, you know, like, and so my man's gonna beat you up now. It's like, you know, he's better than that.
Oh, the heat he would get if he smashed like a PS5 because they're so hard to get right now. would be ridiculous.
That would be awesome.
The heat would be ridiculous.
Now that's a story.
He don't even need to smash it. He just needs to put it online for like $1,000 more than he paid for it and watch people lose their fucking minds about it.
Yeah, but they're already doing that on like the Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, people are going nuts.
It's ridiculous what they're going for right now.
Yep.
We're joined by Sledge, the metalhead maniac from Ring of Honor, to just crushing water.
Yeah.
I feel your thirst, my friend.
A gallon plus a day.
All right, now, nice. Because
I tried that. I'm up to like a 17-ounce bottle. And that's it. And I can't drink anymore.
Yeah, but how much do you piss though? Because I piss all the time.
See, I was gonna ask you that. Because yeah. I fucking drink a shitload of water. I don't know if I drink a gallon of water, but I drink a shitload of water and I piss like a racehorse. And people think I'm like I have like a problem.
Right. No, it's just we're just flushing out our track, I guess would be the best way to put it. I drink a gallon and a half a day. I try to get at least a gallon down by 4 o'clock. And then I kind of gradually just kind of drink it through, and I try to stop all my liquids by like 7. Yeah. Wow. So I don't like wake up during the night and like piss 5 or 6 times a night.
Yeah.
Which I have no idea how we got on this conversation, but
it's fine. I heard it actually makes you feel a lot better. I heard if you drink like a gallon of water a day,
you're actually not that hungry.
Yeah.
Really?
It's a trick of the trade. You're not really that hungry. So a lot of people are like, oh, I need to eat. Just do a little bit of water. You'll be all right.
I like it.
Yeah, see, I do that, but then I pee all the time, and I'm like, God damn it, I'm pissing so much. I should have a snack.
I worked up so much energy peeing from getting up and peeing right. and sitting back down. I'm burning all these calories. I need to have a damn snack. Some
that's
right. bitch.
That's why
I like it.
That's why I'm a fucking slob. I don't know what to tell you. But where's
you don't look that bad.
Oh, I mean, it's the hair. Thank you.
I mean, look at me. I look like a fucking slob too. But that's all right.
Yeah, but you're the metal head maniac.
Correct.
And you're fucking crushing skulls and you're taking names and you're in Ring of Honor now, which is huge because Ring of Honor's restart has been unbelievable. I saw you were tweeting the Watch ROH stuff. They just finished up their episode.
Yep.
Great stuff. I'm an ROH Honor Club member, so I got it a day early. But man, how excited for you to be in ROH?
I'm very excited, man. ROH is definitely one of those places where I've always wanted to go back when it was on like HDNet. Back in the day, you know, a lot of people are like, wait, what's HDNet? It's now Access TV, guys. It's just one of those things, man, where we have the best wrestlers on the planet. We really do, honestly, man. If you see the product that we're putting out right now is by and large some of the best professional wrestling out there. I would put our guys against any guys, 100%. You know, the peer title tournament was absolutely just fantastic. That's what wrestling is right there. That's wrestling, you know? And you see how gnarly Vincent and Bateman, you know, and then the return of Mike Bennett and with Matt Taven, you know, return of the Kingdom. And you saw it on TV, like how bad of blood that is, you know what I mean? And when they get together, sooner or later, whenever that happens, those four meet, man, it's going to be, whew. Hopefully they got a lot of security on deck. I'll tell you that one right there. You know what I'm saying? So
they announced that match for Final Battle.
Did they?
Yes.
Okay. I was kayfabe in it, but okay. I didn't know if they announced it yet or
yes,
not. But
they've announced quite a few matches for Final Battle, which is which is fantastic. Now, I was at Free Enterprise following ROH, and my understanding is you were signed right before the pandemic started. Is that
correct?
Man,
I signed my deal and my deal went into effect March 1st. I think we got shut down like March like 7th or something like that. Yeah.
So I know you have been you've used your time well, because I know you did, you were on the Steve Austin podcast, right?
I did the Steve Austin podcast about 2 years ago. And that's what really kind of launched me into that like indie darling bracket, would be like the best way to put it. Cause once that aired, then I was flying all over the place, and next thing you know, I was touring England and Mexico and just kind of going all over the place.
Now, did Steve find you, or did you reach out to Steve? Like, how does that come about? Because I know you have a very interesting story.
Yeah, so it was right place at the right time. That's kind of where, like, my whole wrestling career has been. It's been, like, the right place at the right time. I was traveling with a friend, AJ Kirsch, who is now the lead announcer at MLW, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Rocked promo champion, you know. Tough enough, whatever. He's like one of my best friends. Anyway, we were traveling together to a show, and he kind of kayfabed me about like where he was going. And he was like, hey man, like I might have to drop you off at like a coffee shop or something for a couple hours. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's fine. Cause I'm thinking he's got like an audition in LA. I'm like, that's fine. You know, whatever. Steve Austin calls him. He asks Steve if I can come along. Steve originally tells me to kiss his ass. And I'm like, Steve Austin told me to kiss his ass. Hell yeah. It's like, fuck yeah, dude. You know? And, he's like, no, man, bring him. And me and Steve just kind of started rapping, and we just kind of started talking, and he realized I had kind of a story. And he's like, dude, are you cool if I podcast you? And I'm like, yeah, 100%. And that really launched me into that next. A lot of indie guys struggle. Excuse me. A lot of indie guys struggle to get that next level of independence, like that next being that indie darling where you're flying every weekend and you're really hauling ass. You're really trying to make a name for yourself. And something like that, like with the Steve Austin podcast, really like launched me. You know, next thing you know, I was doing Impact, and you know, we're off to the races.
Tony, I'm sorry, I thought you had a question for the Sledge. So now, fast forward, Ring of Honor, you sign your deal, the pandemic starts. Like, what are you doing now to just keep your spirits up and stay focused on the goal, which is obviously your Ring of Honor debut?
Yeah, when I got home. I packed on because I moved just for an opportunity. I was not signed with Ring of Honor any way, shape, or form. They offered me a tryout in, when was it? May. Beginning of May, they offered me a tryout. They held a dojo tryout camp, and then they offered me a dojo spot. And they're like, hey, come to the dojo. We'll go ahead. We'll put you on the ring trucks. We'll kind of keep you some money in your pocket. And if this kind of, you know, pans out, we'll go ahead and we'll sign you. You know, we just don't think you're ready for TV yet. And I said, you know what? This is the only thing. Something pulled me that way. Something was like, okay, take this opportunity. When an opportunity knocks, man, sometimes you got to go through the door. So I moved away from like my whole support system before I officially signed with Ring of Honor, moving to Baltimore, Maryland, because I'm originally from California. I went from California all the way to Baltimore, Maryland on an opportunity, the best way to put it. Right. And then I kind of got depressed while I was over there because I didn't have my support system that I really needed to help me kind of motivated. So I kind of, I'm a recovering addict. I don't know if we're going to catch into that, but I'm a recovering addict of alcohol and drugs. And I depression eat sometimes. And I really got into a depression mode, and to the point of like, I almost thought about leaving a couple of times. Like, it's not for me. Like, I just can't mentally get around this. And my coaches were great, man. Jonathan Gresham and Will Ferrara, like some of the best coaches you can have, really. That and like Dak Draper and, you know, a lot of SOS, a lot of those guys really like honed in around me to help me, get out of the funk that I was in. So when I got back home, when everything shut down back to California, I packed on some weight. I was a little heavy. So I decided to get on my diet plan again and get my muscles back to where I feel like they need to be. And, you know, and now I'm just kind of waiting, you know, when I make my debut. You never know where I'm going to pop up. So
when you're told initially that you're not TV ready,
mm-hmm.
what does that mean to you? And what kind of things do you think that you have to do to become TV ready to the point where now you are set to make this happen for yourself?
Well, there's a lot of different ways. Like, a lot of people believe that, like, oh, it's just like with professional wrestling, when you watch it on TV, it's a TV product. We are a TV product. Okay. So a lot of the guys, you need to learn how to work the cameras, work different angles, do different things, different ways you do holds, different way you look at the camera, so on and so on. There's so much to TV wrestling than there is just to going out there and just doing an independent match.
What did you have like the easiest time with, the hardest time with? Like, what did you think that you needed to work on the most? Was it just the cameras, or what was it?
Spacing. A lot of it was spacing. And I still have a problem with that too, you know, is I just give a little bit too much space. I need to be a little bit more aggressive. You know, and I give my opponent a little bit too much breathing room because I need to stay right on top of them. So there's a little few little tweaks, but I'm always learning. That's the thing, is that you're always learning in this business. You're always learning.
Well, as the metalhead maniac, you need to be quick or be dead.
Yes, absolutely. Kill or be killed.
Oh, I like that. We could go metal songs all night. now you talked about your addiction. What was the your moment where you decided this is not for you and you needed to get past that and become the person you are today sitting in front of us?
It was a really, really bad decision. And if sometimes you need a bad decision and hit rock bottom before you can wake up,
it's
honestly.
Not, it's not this podcast, is it?
It might be when we're done. You know, I'm just joking. Right. Yeah. K-Dog is looking at me like, you son of a bitch. He's like, you son of a bitch. By the way, go Jets, right?
Hey, listen, that was a win as far as I'm concerned yesterday. I don't know what everyone else was watching.
How?
I don't want you. You want to win a game and have you? What, are you a Raiders fan?
Yeah.
All right, listen. Congratulations. I was on the Raiders bandwagon yesterday. You think I want to let Jacksonville get that number one pick? I want Trevor Lawrence. Tank for Trevor, baby. Let's go.
I was literally tweeting yesterday. I was like, how are we going to lose to an 0-11 team? Seriously. Like, we're the last two games were supposed to give me Atlanta was supposed to be giving me. We did the job.
I'll talk to you about that because I had Derek Carr starting last week in my fantasy football league against Atlanta, who the week before, like the worst defense in the league at that point. And all of a sudden, Derek Carr gets 0 points. Goose egg.
Oh, he got you zero last week. He got me negative 3 points. So.
And then this week, I have him on my bench. I start Taysom Hill, and he goes off for 39 against my Jets.
Yeah. that pass at the end, though. Like, wow.
We fired our coordinator today.
You should have fired everybody.
You should have fired your head coach.
Yeah, that's happening.
Yeah, definitely, dude. Anyway. I made a really bad decision. I saw the Jets and I had to go there, buddy. I'm sorry.
No, listen, I am mad at you.
I'm sorry, man.
No, it's all good.
I made a bad decision, man. I got actually, I was going through a really bad time in my life. I really was. I was going through a divorce and I got hurt early in my career and I started supplementing pain with pain pills. And when I was going through a divorce, I was always drinking. Like drinking was never really that big of a problem for me until like I started going into that depression mode. And then things aren't really going very well at home. So then I started ramping up the drinking and the drinking and the pills. They were a horrible combination. And I made a really bad decision of getting into the ring, extremely intoxicated, honestly, extremely intoxicated. And, I was going into like a hardcore match and I was like, oh, I need to get tanked up for this. And it was just, it was bad. It was probably it was the worst match of my career. I 100% can tell you that. I shouldn't have never walked out of that curtain. The promoter should have never let me to go out that curtain. But about a few days later is when I had that wake up call that I needed because no one was returning my texts. No one was calling me. There was a video that was released about me that, to about 100 and something promoters telling them not to book me anymore. It was a very rough time. So I've 6.5 years clean and sober now. That's, you know, since then.
That's awesome. So, I mean, it's awesome that you're clean and sober. What's the road like for you now? You've made this terrible mistake. The word is out. Don't book Sledge. He's a disaster. And now you have to reinvent yourself. How hard was that for you? Plus to overcome your other demons.
It was hard. It really was, man. I really give hats off to guys that really like stuck behind me, you know, like my best friend, JD Horror. Guys like, my buddy Clay Towser, promoters like Joey Chaos, who texted me and told me, you know, give me a reason not to unbook you right now. Give me one good reason not to unbook you right now. And I told him I'd never drink again. And I haven't, I kept my word. Guys like Kurt White, who put me in the public eye, you know, with Impact and everything. Just a real group of guys around me to really help lift me. Because when I got sober, I depressionate. So then I gained about 100 pounds, 100, 120 pounds. And that was another wake-up call sitting on the couch, you know, watching all my friends getting signed to, you know, when Lucha Underground was coming through, man, Lucha Underground was swiping up everybody. They were swiping up everybody. And they were in LA. And I'm just like, I could have been right there 100%, you know? And that was the day that I got off my butt off the couch and got a gym membership and got on a diet, and fitness and wrestling has been my life, you know, ever since. Probably about the last 3 years, wrestling has just been my life. And I've been broke. Cars almost repossessed, rent, telling my landlord, you know, hey, I'll get it to you, you know, soon. Hey, don't cash that check until the middle of the month because I'm hoping I get a big payday, you know, working a little odd jobs trying to, you know, become something. And luckily the Steve Austin podcast happened. And here we are.
And for the most part, it seems like wrestling is in a better place. I mean, I can't speak with absolute certainty about that, but it seems like it's in a better place than it was maybe like, you know, 20 years ago, in terms of abuse and in terms of sobriety and not being sober and stuff like that. If you had to give like a message to somebody, and I don't want to make this into like a Debbie Downer podcast, but I think it's a very important message for you to get across to 100%. People, especially in a position that you're in now. How do people avoid that? How do people avoid getting sucked into the addiction, especially in professional wrestling, in terms of the pain pills, in terms of the alcohol abuse? Is there a way around it in independence?
There is 100% because I did it for a couple of years, you know, coming back to the independents and don't go to the after parties is a big one. You know, a lot of times there's after parties and the promoter with the sponsors, and usually you're the fly in. So they want you to come and hang out with the sponsors and mingle. And if I do, man, I'm in and out 100%. Like I'm in, I say, what's up, yada, yada, yada. And then I'm back to my hotel, and I just, you just avoid it. If you can avoid it, if you can't, make right decisions. Now, I'm not saying like everybody, you know, has problems like I did. Not everybody does, but for me, best way is just to avoid being in bad situations if I can, the best way.
Yeah. I feel like that goes across in all walks of life.
100%, man. Like I try not to put myself in bad situations. Sometimes I do, but I try not to, man, is the best way to put it.
So. Did yesterday.
Yeah. Boy, I was sweating. Brother, I was sweating watching that. I was so mad. I'm like, if we lose to an 0-11 team, I'm like, and we just moved to Vegas. And I'm like, another reason to go to Vegas. Hell yeah. I love Las Vegas. Love it. And I'm like, man, dude, we're not really doing very well right now. If we would have lost to you guys, we would have been gone in the wild card. Like, we would have just been done with our season. Like, there's been no reason to continue. But now we're hanging on.
You're there.
We're hanging on.
Yeah, you're not. It's not happening. Sorry, bud.
Oh.
I'm a Dolphins fan. I'm riding high, baby. We're good. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Oh, well, fuck me then.
I hope you're ready for Tua time, baby. It's been a long time since I could talk shit as a Dolphins fan, so this is fun.
That's for damn sure. That is for damn sure. Easy. Enjoy while it lasts.
Yeah, enjoy Chucky, okay? Keeps his fucking face mask on the sidelines. Jesus. We're on the line with Sledge, the Metalhead Maniac, at Sledge805 on the Twitter machine. Tell us a little bit about Coffee with Sledge. It's your Twitch TV thing that you do. You just had Josh Woods on last week, fresh off of his huge win, some say an upset win, over Jay Lethal.
I don't say it's upset. Anyway, Josh is so good. So good.
Ring of Honor does an amazing job, and I talked about it last week, showcasing these talents with these new vignettes that they've been doing, kind of reacclimating the old fans and getting the new people, the new fans used to.
It's educating.
It's unbelievable.
Educating.
It's such a simple concept. It's remarkable that other promotions don't do it. LSG, great friend of the show, his match with Jay, first of all, his vignette package was awesome. His match with Jay Lethal, he got screwed by the judges. And I know you say he used a rope break early, went to the top rope.
No, I agree, 100%. I tweeted out. I said LSG got screwed, 100%.
And, they're just crushing it over at Ring of Honor. I don't know. Oh, Josh Woods, Coffee with Sledge. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was something, man, that I just started during a pandemic. That was it. It was something to learn how to talk, learn how to do the podcasts. And because I get asked all the time to do these podcasts. A lot of times when you're doing podcasts, and you guys know, as podcasters, you say, and like a lot. And you're just like, so it was just one of those things where it was something where I could learn how to talk better. Also, with a lot of podcasts, which I love about you guys, is you guys are educated. You're not asking me, so what got you into professional wrestling?
you would trust me. We were there once.
Do that. I mean, it'll help you feel comfortable.
You know what I'm saying? But you guys do your research on your guests, and it makes life so much easier for the guests to come on when you do a little bit of research behind them. Even if it's wrong, just a tiny bit, and you're still in the ballpark, the guest feels a lot better about that. And a buddy of mine who does another amazing Twitch show called Zicky Dice, it's at Zicky Dice TV. Oh, geez.
Top five guests. Zicky
Outlandish.
Dice.
Outlandish.
The recently married Zicky Dice.
The recently married Zicky Dice. Me and Zicky have been up and down the road together. We have been all over the place together. That guy is my road dog through and through. And he told me, I started on my Instagram, and he goes, dude, you got to do this on Twitch. You got to do it on Twitch. You know? And I said, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do Twitch. Like, what is this Twitch? And I talked to Marty Lamoff. Marty Lamoff is a good buddy of mine. and we just kind of worked it out. And then I got a producer out of nowhere in a stream talking to him. And then he produces my show, and off to the races we go. So now we're.
Is that why we're looking at you in front of this very nice little green screen here?
That's exactly why you're looking at me. A very nice green screen. Yes. With nice, proper lighting. Yes.
Perfect.
Absolutely. You know, I'm in my office. My office is pretty badass. I love my office.
Love it.
I don't know if you guys want to see my office, the tour of my office, but my office is pretty awesome. I got to build it myself, which is great. I got a 70-inch flat screen looking at me, which is fantastic. But yeah, man, it's just so good.
I would love to see your office.
You want to see my office? Here we go. I'll show you my office. Here we go. So here I am, right? Hello. So right behind me is we have Nightmare on Elm Street.
All
right. And Steve, right? We got a little bit of the sound pattern, brother.
Nice.
You know? And then we got all wrestling posters.
Nice.
Very nice.
That I've been on. 100%. So, and I'm a huge Nightmare on Elm Street fan and a huge horror fan. So I got that. And then I got more stuff over here. I'm turning that closet right there into a sound booth.
Nice.
Yeah. For music. And then there's a 70-inch TV sitting flat screen, all piped in, nice. And then my massage chair. So, yeah, this is my home away from home, I guess would be the best way to put it. So,
and that's twitch.tv/sledge805 if you want to check out.
Keep it easy for everybody. Sledge805 on everything. Twitch, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, MySpace.
Nice. Universal. I like that. Grindr. Do it. Get it, son.
Yeah. I don't know about Grindr, but okay.
All right.
Bizarre. So LimeWire.
The Metalhead Maniac. As a fellow metalhead, let's go Metalhead Maniac. Who's on your Mount Rushmore of metal bands?
Oh, shit. I get this question all the time, dude. I always go, man, I have to pick four.
Okay. Dickinson or Halford?
Halford
or Dio?
Dio.
Dio. Dio's the best.
Dude, I love Dio. Dio is just... Dio's the man. 100% the man.
Would you see the hologram Dio concert? Like, live?
Yes.
I would too. I'd have to say.
100%. If that's a thing...
It's a thing.
Like, I'm down. 100%.
I think they did it in Europe. His wife set it up where they did... like they had like a full band and then just a hologram of him that they pulled from all the years of him doing his songs, singing along as the band played.
Yeah, I would love it.
You got if you YouTube the video, it's fucking unbelievable.
I will do that when we get off here. I won't do it while I'm doing while I'm right here. I mean, I could, but you know.
Yeah, we don't care. Wouldn't be the worst interview we ever had.
Well, fuck, I don't know how much time we got here, but brother, you look like you're in like a SW. You look like you're in like a fucking movie room. Like, what the hell?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, this is actually my basement. So
that's, you know, the studio.
Yeah, this is the studio. I've got the couch behind me up on a riser that I built.
Yeah.
I've got monitors. I mean, you could see one over there. So whatever's on the TV in front of me, you could see on those monitors. Massage couch, by the way.
Fuck
and
fuck.
This is the 65-inch TV.
Get on my level, brother. Jeez. Ah! You guys haven't even seen my. You haven't seen. Like, I don't know. It's weird. I love big TVs. I mean, I'm weird.
I don't know how we lived without them for so long.
I have 70 in my office, and I have 86 in my living room.
86.
Insanity.
I have 86 in my living room.
So the people on the TV screen are as big as you are standing next to the TV. Then.
That's right. Yeah. Ring of Honor looks great on it.
I could imagine.
Oh, fantastic! It's the only wrestling I watch besides that in New Japan.
That's right. And I have Ring of Honor on my VCR TV combo.
13-inch
right on top of eye level with my loft, twin bed loft.
Gotta get the tracking right.
That's right. Some rabbit ears on there for fun. That's all.
Oh man, what is it? What is it? Red, yellow, white.
Yeah. Audio, video.
Audio, video.
I plugged my N64 in there. I'm good to go.
Brother, dude, N64, let's talk about it. Let's do it.
Oh,
a little 007.
I fucking suck at those games. Anything, a shooter game, I just run into the wall, and then people kill me. I suck at those.
I remember 1080. 1080 the snowboarding 1080 game. Snowboarding. Oh, I was all over it.
One that and Wave Race may have been like my two like the jet ski game and 1080 snowboarding were like my two favorite recreational games.
NFL Blitz. Oh.
Oh, Blitz hits for the hockey. Oh,
oh dude. Forget about it. Talk about it. All right. Where do we go? I don't know where we're going.
That's, you don't know.
We're trying to grab a rest hold here.
No, we're all over the place. This is usually how our interviews go.
I love it, man. This is it's like I'm at home. We're just sitting here talking BS and hey, where are you going, man?
He's out. He said he's done with you.
He's like, I gotta go check the tracking.
He's like, I ain't dealing with this Raiders fan no more.
Yeah, that's right. I'm out of here.
For real, the Jets are 0-12 now?
Yeah, they suck.
Kevin sucks.
They're the worst team in the NFL. It was funny because they were on NFL Today, and like one of the guys, I don't remember who it was like Michael Irving or something like that, was like, yep, they are the worst team. They're officially the worst team in the NFL. And I was like, damn, that's snug.
Oh, brother.
They really are. They're terrible.
Horrible.
The Ring of Honor restart's been excellent. Sledge, you've been awesome tonight. Before we let you go, because we do have another guest calling in and joining us.
That's ridiculous.
We try and give everybody the rub. It's sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You'll probably tell people this was the worst podcast you've ever done. But ever. We have to live up to that hype. That's how we do our thing here. I don't know. Someone cut me off. I'm just fucking.
Right, do me a favor.
What? You said you had a question or something. Like what the fuck? I'm sitting there holding on for the fucking question.
No,
I've
been doing this for 9 years. He still doesn't know.
I do. Final battle 2020. We have 6 matches announced.
Yep.
What are you most excited for? We got Roosh, Brody King. John Gresham's doing double duty. He's defending the Pure title against Flip, and then he's defending his tag titles with Jay Lethal against Mark and PCO, which is
fucking nuts. Jesus.
I was really thinking, I was going back to Free Enterprise. I thought Mark was going to pull Danny Moff because him and Cobb won tag title shots at Free Enterprise. But I'll take PCO because that's fucking Crazy Town USA. Shane Taylor and company, the Soldiers of Savagery, taking on Flamita, Ray Orris, and Bandito. Dragon Lee's going to defend his TV title against one of the 4 men who also will do double duty in LSG, Dak Draper, Tony Deppen, and holy shit, I have it in my notes. Oh my God, why am I forgetting the last person? Don't tell me. I got it right here. No, that's
LSG's going to win. Come on.
That's New Japan. But Josh Woods, holy shit, Josh Woods. So final battle shaping up to be an unbelievable show. What are you looking forward to most? And maybe Sledge peeks his little head out. We're gonna see a little Sledge action.
You never know where I'm gonna pop up, bud. You never know where I'm gonna pop up. Brody King has been on a terror since he's been back. I mean, a terror. I mean, he beat Dalton. Then that slobber knocker with Shane Taylor last week.
Awesome.
Come on. That was pure, just hard hitting action. And now him and Roosh, oof. You know, then you got Jay Briscoe versus
EC3.
You know, EC3. You know, EC3 coming out of nowhere trying to control the narrative. You know, trying to find out if honor is real. If you saw Jay Briscoe, did shake his hand. Does that show him that honor's real?
I don't know. Chicken don't seem happy with him, though.
Chicken don't seem happy, man. Chicken don't seem happy. But Chicken and PCO, you know, versus Lethal and Gresham, I don't even know where that one goes. Anyway, shape and form. I mean, PCO is just – PCO's he's not human.
No, not even close.
Neither is Chicken.
That's also a good point. Something in that water down there in Delaware.
Brother, I got to give you some of that water. But
maybe
yeah, no,
a gallon of it though.
I'll drink a whole gallon of it. It's gonna make it better 100%. Those guys are just the whole card for Final Battle is shaping up to be Ring of Honor's coming and closing out the year big.
Yeah,
you know, we just came back, we're getting ready to close out the year, and what better way to close out the year than just a fire pay per view? Best way to put it, a fire pay per view.
I'm all in. Yeah. December 18th. ROH
Wrestling.com. You never know where I'm going to pop up. You never know, man. Just hang on. Hang on, guys. Just hang on. Because sooner or later, I'm going to pop up on your TV screen, and you won't believe what the fuck you see.
I love
it. Best way to put it.
Well, Sledge, I hope you pop up back on the podcast, because this was a lot of fun. And I think we could just have you on anytime just to hang and bang and bullshit and have a good
time. Let's talk wrestling. Let's do that. Let's talk more wrestling. I like that. Yeah, let's not talk the Jets because no one likes to talk about the Jets.
The Jets.
No, nobody likes
it. At Sledge805 across all your social media platforms. Sledge, anything before we let you go you want to tell the fans, brother?
Just remember, guys, 100%. You know, right now we're in a pandemic, and there's no way around it. And COVID-19, if you guys have paid attention to the news, COVID-19, I'm not getting political in any way, shape, or form because I don't do that. Suicide rate has skyrocketed since COVID-19.
Yep.
I've lost a lot of friends because of it, just because of depression, people losing their jobs, people losing their businesses, so on and so forth. Just remember, guys, that's not the way to go. There's always somebody out there to help you. 100%. There's always somebody out there to help you, and there's another avenue. You know, I understand better than anybody that everybody has demons. Everybody has problems. But if you can wake up and take a breath of fresh air every single day, figure out what you're going to do for those 24 hours. 100%. You should only get 24 hours in a day. And your bad day, somebody would trade in because their day is 10 times worse. Just remember that. 100%.
Truth.
Sledge, thank you so much, man. We'll be in touch. I'd love to do this again.
Let's do it, guys. Let's do it not during football season.
Okay, so at the end of December, we'll reach out to you.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. All right, guys, have a good one. Peace.
Be good, Sledge. Thank you, brother. Sledge, give him a follow at Sledge805 across all social media platforms. We're going from one to the other because we got the wonderfully talented Gabby Ortiz joining us momentarily. We're queuing her up. She's sideways. Hi, Gabby. How are you?
Hi. Am I supposed to be this way or this way?
That way.
This way's good. Cool. Hey.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us tonight, right ahead of Synergy Wrestling's Women's Garden State Invitational, which takes place this Saturday night on IWTV. And you have drawn Willow Nightingale in the first round. With Casey Catal winning the title a couple weeks ago against TJ Crawford, is it safe to assume that whoever wins this is going to get first crack at Casey?
I would assume so, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And how do you feel about your chances in said tournament?
I feel good about my chances. I've been working a lot, actually, weirdly enough, as opposed to, you know, what my other workers might be dealing with right now. I've been pretty lucky. And I'm in the best shape I've ever been in. And I faced Willow a couple months ago at the LVAC Lehigh Valley. And she beat me, but I don't think that's going to be the case this time. I think I've been working a little bit more than she has.
Oh.
Not to say anything, but I've been working out. I've been wrestling a lot. I've been training a lot. I feel very confident in my ability, more so than I even think I would have a couple months ago.
Oh,
so do you think that because you've been busier and because you've worked more that, I mean, clearly anyone would think that that's an advantage, but maybe she's a little more well-rested, or what's the deal? How do you interpret that?
I don't think that that's true with wrestling. I think you have to, like, you get ring rust when you don't work. You know, I don't have that right now. Like, I don't, I'm not rusty. Like, I've been working. And I mean, Willow has wrestled this year. Yeah, right. She did the collective, and she obviously wrestled me in the summer, so. It's not to say she hasn't done it. She's been working plenty, but I've been working more. So,
you mentioned ring rust and that it's real. How did you prevent yourself from getting ring rust when this all came down the pike in March when they said, you know, don't leave your house. Guess what? You're stuck inside with LSG. So have fun.
I mean, that's how I did it because I was with LSG. Otherwise, I think I would have.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, he put me through it, and like we worked out in his dad's garage a lot. I mean, like every day we were there, and like there's no, oh, we have to leave because the gym is closing. It was like we would just be in there like for hours and hours, doing all different kinds of stuff. So I learned a lot of new workouts and really trying to utilize the space that you have in that time because the gyms in Philly are closed again. So, you know, now I have I have more knowledge of how to like utilize the space and what I have to really get a good workout in.
Gotta do that. You gotta hit that DDP yoga.
You know, I have DDP. I got like the first when it first came out, like the DVDs and like the big calendar you get with it. Like I have that. So I need to utilize it a little bit more.
Absolutely. Get it. It's a good time. We did. Tony does it. Tony used to look like Uncle Fester. And now I look like Uncle Fester and Tony looks like a svelte young man. You talk about your story getting into professional wrestling is unique. At least I think it is, because you grew up in a family of brothers and they all watch wrestling and you watch wrestling. And you didn't make the decision until you were at a Seth Rollins meet and greet.
First off, congratulations to Seth Rollins. He's officially a dad now, which is crazy. Him and Becky Lynch.
That's right.
Becky just gave birth a couple hours ago, I think.
Just had her on the podcast. They gave birth on the air right before you on the show.
What am I even doing here? How do I even follow that up?
It was not. Look, I'm going to tell you, Seth did the thing with the belt. You know how he swung the belt? He took the umbilical cord.
With a baby?
He did it with the umbilical cord. No baby. But he cut the umbilical cord and then he was like doing this. And we're like, Seth, we got to go, bro. That's a wrap. That's creepy.
And we're like, how can we top this? And we're like, you know what? Gabby.
I'm in my pajamas. My shirt's a little, but I'm like literally like you're seeing bedtime, Gabby, right now. Like I got home from the gym, and I was like, "Shit, I have a pod." Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we curse all the time. You're fine.
Okay. I was like, "Oh my god, I have a podcast at 8:30." I was like, "They're not getting the full fantasy." I'm so sorry.
The full fantasy. The full fantasy. We have a woman on the podcast. We're just happy with that.
Actually, my fantasy is looking at Kevin with his green and white Zubaz and his Jets sweatshirt. So, fantasy.
You have your fantasy fulfilled. Good.
I mean, and you've heard us have talked to LSG before on the show, so we know what our fantasies are. So you don't have anything.
Fair enough. Great. Okay, I feel much better about
now,
that.
Now, Gabby, I got to bring something up because we talked about it with Eric Watts here. You're a big fan of this little shithead Yoda looking thing. He's eating eggs. He's being a little dick. Is he still a little dick? Tony, talk to me. Cause Tony, I don't watch The Mandalorian, but I know he's a little dick. He's eating eggs. He's being a little dick.
He has to eat. What do you mean?
Like, have a sandwich, like, make a peanut butter and jelly. I don't have that in the Star
Wars
universe.
It is funny. Cause in that episode, he like the Mandalorian gave him like a little lunchbox, like eat food that was like prepared for him. And he still wanted to eat those eggs. I don't know what to tell you.
Is he still being a heel?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Not only did he eat eggs when he went back, where did he go to Tatooine to go visit with what's her name?
With Cara Dune or with,
yeah.
Oh know. No. Was it Amy Sedaris's character?
No. Yeah. Well, he went back to meet with Apollo Creed and Gina Carano.
Yeah.
So they left Grogu in a school and he's sitting at the table and he wanted the kids cookies and the kid's like, no. And the son of a bitch did the Jedi mind trick to steal the cookies. Slob.
Yeah, he did. I mean, if I had those powers, I'd probably do that too.
What is eating eggs a bad thing? We eat eggs all the time. How is this?
Okay. It's a bad thing because it was this frog lady. It was her egg. She was like incubating them in this like in this backpack, like with fluid in them.
All right, well, that's her first problem. Don't put your kids in a backpack.
No.
Well, they were the last of that bloodline of species. So these were the last of like those eggs that were ever going to exist. And Baby Yoda's just like snacking on them like gushers.
What do you want, that little bitch?
Take care of y'all chicken.
That's true. I mean, she took her eyes off of him, so that was her first. Yeah, that was like her second issue.
Sounds like a lot of parents I see at Walmart.
What'd you think of the big story? Now he's he went and he found out all about his powers, and now the Mandalorian's got a problem on his hands.
Yeah, I mean, he does have a ship. And the baby Grogu is like locked up. It's crazy. Yeah. They took him. They straight napped him. I was like, what?
Yo, it was like dark stormtroopers. They came down like rockets. They grabbed him and right back up to the ship. And he tried doing power to get himself free. He was making stormtroopers fly around the ship, knocking them into each other. But he gets tired because he's little, so he had to take a nap. He couldn't beat him up anymore.
He was interested in that saber that that Moff Gideon had, though, like that dark saber. Like he was like, I want that, but he's too sleepy, so he couldn't get it.
So, Gabby, you said if you had the Jedi forces, you would steal cookies.
I don't think I'd have to. Yeah, I don't think I'd have to actually utilize the Jedi Force. I could just ask for them. I think they would just be given to me.
You will give me cookies.
I mean, I think it'd be cool if I could just sit in the kitchen, in the living room, and then from the kitchen, I just point, and then food comes to me.
Food comes, yeah.
Because then I would never get up.
I mean, are we that lazy as a society where we have to use Jedi stuff for cookies?
I don't
know. Why not?
Yeah, I don't necessarily see it as lazy. You have the power. Why get up? Why do you have to wait for a commercial break? You want a snack? Just grab it while you're watching whatever.
Do you guys watch Umbrella Academy at all?
My wife watched all the Umbrella Academies, and then the girl turned into a boy, right? Now that's a boy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she used the Jedi powers to turn her into
a boy. No, he's transgender. His name's Elliot Page. Anyway, not the point of what I was saying, but the characters in the show have hella powers, and, like, they never use them, like, when they should. It drives me bananas. So I think in the case of, like, would I get food from my kitchen if I was sitting in my living room with the I would use the Force.
Here's another,
because it makes me so pissed when people have powers and don't use them for shit like that.
If you could choose your own power, what would it be?
Teleportation, 100%.
That would be cool.
So not flying, you would just want to get there faster.
Yeah. If you fly bugs on your face, like, no, thank you. I'm good.
Good point.
I have a really good skincare routine. I'm not trying to mess that up.
No. I mean, if you did fly, you could control the speed, or you could wear one of those masks.
I still want to look pretty, though. No. I want to teleport. And my mind is made up. I'm teleporting.
I'm not trying to change your mind. I was just curious.
I know you're trying to, like... What? Give me the pros and cons, but teleportation.
You know who used to piss me off? Who didn't use his powers all the time? Frylock, Aqua Teen Hunger Force. He could have ended half the episodes just by shooting people with his laser eyes, and he never did.
He does not. You're right.
You forget about it because he never does it.
Because he never does it. You're so right. I totally forgot he had laser eyes.
Maybe
I haven't seen
it
in years.
Maybe he just wants to watch Shake self-destruct.
Maybe he's looking after the best interest of Meatwad. Maybe not everyone's got to blow shit up in front of the little meatball.
Yeah, but come on. He used to let the Moonanites take a lot of advantage of Meatwad. That poor little ball of meat. I love Meatwad.
Yeah, but Frylock knew where the line was, so if he needed to use his powers, he could zap him.
That's right.
Did you also know Frylock can make ice come out of his eyes, too?
I can make ice come out of my eyes, too.
Doing it right now.
It'll be a while, but it'll happen. Gabby, this is a wrestling podcast. You are a professional wrestler. So back to the Seth Rollins baby thing, and now you became a wrestler because he had a baby? No, that doesn't make
And Frylock and Star Wars. Yeah,
that's why she's a wrestler.
The little Yoda-looking thing. What is – hold on. Before we move – we're going to talk to Gabby about wrestling and her career, and she's had a very – successful career, and it hasn't even begun. She's only like a couple years in the game. But what is the little thing, Yoda? What is it? Is it the Mandalorian?
Grogu.
What?
His name is Grogu.
Grogu.
He's a Jedi, and they who's Rosario Dawson's character? Asa something or other.
I never know how to pronounce it.
So the Mandalorian found her as a Jedi because he was supposed to take Grogu to a Jedi, and she did the mind meld with him. So she was able to read his thoughts. She found out his name, found out where he was trained, what happened to him, that they sent him into hiding. So his powers started to diminish. You got this whole storyline like kicked into high gear just from talking to a Jedi for 10 minutes. It was pretty crazy stuff.
But he doesn't talk.
He coos. He's like, yeah, you know, he doesn't.
The baby.
He's not a baby. He eats eggs.
He's like 50, but he's still a baby.
50's a baby?
Yoda lifted me 900, dude.
First, all right. all right, moving on. So anyway, Gabby, you went to meet and greet with Seth Rollins, and what about that situation made you decide to go check out the Monster Factory?
So I just was in line with people, and I was looking around. I dressed up. I like made myself like really nice, and like I did my makeup because I was taking a picture with him. So I was like, I have to look nice. And I was looking around, and I was like, I just feel like different, and I feel like I've been performing my entire life, and I was like, why am I holding myself back because I'm too small to wrestle? Like that's what I was, and I had before I had met Seth Rollins, I was thinking about it. I'm like, nah, I'm too little. Like I'm not athletic. Like there's no way I can do it. But then meeting him, like I had this aha moment where I was like, wait, no, I think this is for me. I think professional wrestling is the path I need to take with my life, because I was pretty directionless at this point in my life. I had really nothing going on. My band had all went to college, so they were all out of state, so we weren't playing music anymore. I wasn't acting. I was just working at a hair salon and a nightclub. So I was like, I need something, and I love professional wrestling, and I need to stop thinking I'm too small to do it. I'm just going to look up the closest professional wrestling school to where I am right now. And I was in Voorhees, New Jersey, and the Monster Factory came right up. And then I looked up ones in Philly, and the one in Philly is called Chikara, and I decided not to go there. And I'm very happy about that decision.
Worked out okay.
That's neither here nor there.
And then I went to the Monster Factory. That's how I started.
All right, so you just said something that was kind of intriguing to me. You said you were kind of directionless. You weren't an athlete, yet you decided to try a sport that is arguably the hardest to do athletically. So what was that like for you, from someone who admittedly just said, I wasn't an athlete? How long did that take for you to become one?
A while. Danny Cage, the owner of the Monster Factory, like flat out almost refused to give me any matches because he was just like, you're not good. Like he was gonna put me in this, like, he never outwardly said that, but like, I'm not stupid, you know what I mean? Like I knew what he was thinking. I just knew it.
Yeah.
So I was about to be put in like a backstage interviewer announcer type role, which I was pretty solid at. I wasn't, you know, I was good at it, but that's not what I wanted to do. And it wasn't Danny that was the first person to be like, she can wrestle. It was the owner of Stardom in Japan that saw me at a tryout and was like, I want to like train her and give her a shot. So I would say like when I really started to feel like an athlete was when I was in Japan, which is like insane. I had had like 3 or 4 matches here in America, but like no one really could see my potential the way that I thought, the way that I could even see my own potential. But then the people at Stardom took an interest in me, and when they were able to see my potential, I was able to really like hone it and become the athlete that I am today.
I want to ask you about Stardom, but you also said before your band, everyone went to college. I got to know about what was your band?
My band, we were called the Gaskill Jumpers, which there's a story behind that. I don't even want to get into it. We had a little rehearsal space on South Street in Philly, which is a pretty like, it's a pretty cool little spot, little area in South Street where there's like a couple cool music venues and there's a lot of good food spots. And we had a rehearsal space there and we played a bunch of shows around Philly, basically all throughout high school.
What kind of music and what did you play in the band?
I was a rhythm guitarist and lead vocalist, and we basically played alternative rock music.
That is awesome.
Nice.
Sorry, I had to ask, because we just had Sledge on from Ring of Honor, and he's the metal-headed maniac, so we were talking music. So it all ties together. Stardom, what's the culture shock like for a girl from South Jersey, Philadelphia, and then she ends up in Japan? Are you eating the raw horse? Are you doing the weird shit?
Oh my god,
no raw horse.
I ate some weird, no raw horse. I had raw eel. So that's,
all right, is it like sushi? Like it's kind of like sushi, right?
Yeah, it's basically just sushi. It's just like gross sushi. I hated it. The culture shock was like actually it was quite nice because, like, I'm always so used to, because being from Philly, like, I was always taking the subway to work, always on the bus to go to work, on a bike, like, on just, you know what I mean? Like, I and you have to, like, be on the defense all the time. Like, no matter what you're doing, you have to be ready to, like, post up with somebody. Like, because there's always somebody who has an attitude. There's always someone that's going to bump into you. There's always someone that's going to say some shit to you. It's annoying. And you're constantly on the defense there and you're constantly, like, tense. But in Japan, I felt like I could, like, like, be relaxed because no one bothers you when you're, like, out in public. You're just, like, able to do your own thing, go about your own way. You bump into someone, it's not even a thing. It's like, excuse me, whatever. And then you move on with your life. It was just so freaking nice to just kind of be around a society of people that weren't always trying to fight you.
Right. Of course. You weren't the only, I'm going to sound like a real mark here. You weren't the only gaijin over there, were you?
No. It was me, Zaya Brookside, Shanna, Piper, Viper, Niven, and Tony Storm.
What a crew.
I know. You're telling me. Oh, my God.
And what was it like for you? You said 3-4 matches before you got the opportunity to go over to Japan and work for Stardom. What was it like in front of that crowd? And how different was it being in front of the Japanese crowd versus the American crowd?
I wasn't really even too familiar with the American crowd, to be honest with you. I mean, like, I had sat ringside doing timekeeping for matches, but I also at that time felt like an audience member still. So being in front of the Japanese crowd, everyone was saying, oh, it was so different. I didn't have a measuring stick for that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But now coming back home and, like, seeing how much more rowdy and personable the fans are here, the fans are, like, they're just way more personable, and Japanese fans are not. They're, like, very much, we're fans, we're here to be a fan and buy your merch and clap when you do something cool in the ring, whereas American fans, you know, they're a little bit more friendly. And I don't know.
I was just gonna say, as soon as your match is done, they're waiting, they're just, like, looking around like, where are you, let's talk. Yeah.
So it is pros and cons to that, for sure.
What is your favorite moment from being in Japan?
When I used to tell this story, it used to be a very happy story for me, but now it's kind of like a kind of a sucky story and kind of sad. But when I had my first singles match there, because I did a lot of tag wrestling there, it was with Hannah Kimura, and she, like, told me, she was like, Gabby, we have a match together. And I was like, oh, what? We do? And she was like, yeah, I'm so honored to have this match with you. Her English was really good. And she said, and she was just, I'm honored to have this match with you. I was like, you're on with me, girl. Are you kidding me? I wanted to, like, smack across the head. I was like, do you know who you are? And we had one of my favorite matches of all time. I mean, that was another aha moment for me. I was like, I can really hold my own in this ring going up against this girl and, like, having a really solid match with her. And I mean, I've said this before she left us, that that's my favorite match. I mean, it's not something that I'm just saying because, you know, and that was a really special moment for me, and even more so now.
So you got this opportunity to work Stardom, and then you come back stateside, and it just seems like it took off for you from there. Wildcat Sports and Entertainment with Luke Hawks, Ring of Honor, Chikara, H2O, WrestlePro, Monster Factory. I mean, I don't know if there's any place on the East Coast where you haven't gotten the opportunity to showcase your talents, but what's that whole experience like? Because once you go to Japan and you said to yourself, you hone your skills, you come back and you are locked in and it's go time for Gabby.
Yeah, I mean, I felt a lot of pressure for it to be go time. Because, like, when I got home, I was like, I'm tired. Like, you know, I wanted to, like, chill for a little bit. But I immediately came home and had bookings already lined up for, like, you know, I felt so bad because, like, my family, I think they thought when I was coming back home, it was me coming back home to, like, be home. And that wasn't the case. I was, like, wrestling basically every weekend when I got back. And then I got hurt for a while. And then they were able to have me. And then they were like, when are you wrestling again?
And that's such a, and Matt brought up a good point in terms of going there at kind of at such a really young age and then coming back and working independence. What were your expectations? Did you have higher expectations coming back from Japan? Did you think that you were going to all of a sudden like be thrust into superstardom because, hey, I work Japan. People sometimes don't ever get to work Japan. What were your expectations coming back from that stardom run?
A fantastic answer for you, and that's LSG keeps me humble. He keeps me very humble. He's like, don't expect anything. I was like, okay. So I just was like, I'm happy to be here. That's how I felt about it. I did not expect a contract from any place. I didn't expect any type of tryout with anybody. I mean, I ended up getting a WWE tryout,
right,
which is really cool. Maybe a year and a half later. But he basically laid it out for me. He's like, yeah, you went to Japan, but you're still basically brand new. He's like, you still have a lot of work to do in the States. And I was like, okay, thanks.
So, I'm not going to lie. Sounds like he's a little jealous. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, but it's...
No. He's very supportive. He's real with me. I mean, he keeps it honest, and I appreciate that. I'd rather that than someone blowing smoke up my ass.
And I feel like a lot of people don't understand that that's just the way it is. That's just how wrestling works. So it's go ahead.
I'll say the biggest shock. I'm sorry. The biggest, not shock, because I knew how it was going to be. But when you're in stardom, everything is taken care of for you. Like your promo pictures are taken care of you. When you get to do promos, like speaking promos, that's taken care of for you and filmed for you. Your food is taken care of for you. There's catering at all the shows. And your travel's taken care of for you. So you're basically like pop stars getting toured around everywhere. When you're here, it's and in the Indies, it's you're on your own. So that was an adjustment.
Last one for me. Was there ever a possibility of you staying there?
No.
No, that was never going to happen.
I'm not Masha Slamovich. this girl just stayed there. No, I had to come back home. I love my dad too much. I love my boyfriend too much. I wanted to be back home. But after the pandemic, the possibility is there to go back. So
awesome.
That'd be exciting. We would love to see you go back to stardom or Japan, just Japan in general, because that's an awesome opportunity for you. But this Saturday, Synergy Wrestling.
Yep.
You got Willow in the first round. Now, and when, this is my prediction, you make it past her, all right? If you had to choose Holodead or Ripley Shepherd in the semifinals, who would you rather face?
Riley Shepherd, because I have beaten her before. I've never beaten Holodead.
And Holodead's she's a little weird. She's a little off. She did like a promo. She's licking a knife before I saw it. It's weird, bro. It's weird stuff. I'm not into it.
I like Holodead, but I don't want to wrestle her.
Sure, I'd have a drink with her, but I don't want to get in a ring with her. She looks like a killer. On the other side of the bracket, Tasha Steeles, Erica, Jordan Blade, Trisha Dora. When you make it to the finals, because going to the finals. Of those four ladies, who do you want to tangle with?
I guess because I've always wanted to wrestle her on one-on-one, Tasha Steeles, I would love that match.
Synergy Wrestling, Colin West, great guy. Has he mentioned Harry the Dumb Tiger to you?
No.
Okay. You got to tell Colin. You got to get looked. Colin? We've been trying to go through Colin. I want Harry the Dumb Tiger on this show. He's been stonewalling me. This is a real thing. I'm not setting you up. This isn't a rib. But Colin's holding back. Harry the Dumb Tiger was in our 9-year anniversary video. We got to get him. And if you need a mascot, Harry the Dumb Tiger, he can do some dirty work for you outside the ring.
You know, Colin doesn't have a smartphone. He just has a flip phone.
That does not surprise me at all. I also don't think he has a shower or a bar of soap. He looks a little wet.
How am I supposed to ask him a favor if you're talking about him?
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably listening.
Is he not asking him for this while I talk shit about him?
He's probably, look, we have a weird relationship. He did the show. He said he was going to sing Alanis Morissette. He didn't. And it's been all downhill from there. Yeah. He said he was going to do a karaoke version of Alanis Morissette's Ironic. And then he hung up on us. Yeah.
Son of a gun.
Oh, no. That's not nice. That's not professional.
I just think he's afraid to sing.
I think so, too.
Now, you're at a karaoke bar, Miss Gabby Ortiz. What are you singing?
Freedom by George Michael.
Nice. She did, really not, quick. Really did quick. Not even okay. hesitate. I like that. That's fantastic. Oh, shit. Sorry.
There it is.
Wrong info. Shut up, Kevin.
What you got?
At Gabbity. Did I say that right?
That's me.
Yep. On the Twitter machine, that's make right. sure you give her a follow. She's yeah. doing big things here in New Jersey. And if you are home Saturday night, which you should be, because you shouldn't be out gallivanting, you shouldn't be out with your friends, you should be social distancing, you should be on IWTV, you should be watching the Synergy Women's Garden State Invitational, and you should be cheering for Gabby to win the whole thing, because then her versus Casey Catal, that, I mean, come on. And, you know, maybe you bring LSG, maybe LSG can beat the shit out of Brandon, because that'd be nice, because he's a real dirtbag, and I could not be happier... Could not be happier to know that the Steelers lost tonight, and I hope Brandon is crying all over the place.
Jeez. All right.
Sorry, I got a lot. Look, I got it. Look, it got weird with Logan Creed because of my King Mo thing, and I think I kept it together with Sledge, except for when I kind of, sort of, didn't ask a question, but did, and now here with Gabby, and she's gonna be like, "Those guys at the Wizards are weird."
I was briefed.
Please, I would love to know what the briefing was about. What? So,
we're not going to met. How many times did you plug LSG?
Okay. You guys are friends with him, I guess, or maybe not. I don't know how this
LSG is
now.
One of my dear good friends, as we say in the business. Dear good friends.
Wonderful. He briefed me. I won't say.
What did he say? What did he say?
No, I'm kidding. He just said you guys are good guys and I was going to have a good time.
you know we've met before, right, Gabby?
Yeah, no, I know we've met before. You had that awesome shirt that said love with the ring in it. I was like, where did you get that? And
yeah, I tried to find another one. I couldn't find it. I did try to find one.
I'm sure you did. I mean, I love symbols like synonymous with Philly. So with Philly, I wanted that. Yeah.
There it is. Weird question. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. You're probably too young. You never went to the ECW arena, did you?
Not when it was ECW arena, but I wrestled there as a 2300 arena.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's still huge.
I know. It's huge. I'm just, now that I've been to both, I don't know. It's not the same. It's weird. It's too nice.
It is nice. Sometimes the energy just changes with the times. You know, the energy of places changes, and I can see why it would be different.
It was very, it was not like you want to talk about like complete 180. It was a fucking shithole. And then you went, and now it's beautiful. It is a beautiful venue. Yeah. It's just weird. I don't know. See, here
there
we
it is.
I should have stopped while I was ahead. Now I'm just rambling. Gabby, question. How do you like my hair? Because it's been a topic of conversation all night. Is it nice or
I love it?
I think it's the lighting.
I love it. It's like, looks good.
Like Tony Schiavone?
I like it. Yeah.
See? I don't like it. I hate it. I got to get
this. Yeah, real quick, I got to ask, what would you do with that? Like, if you were styling it, what would you do with what he's got going on right there?
That's a great question.
Sure. I would put a little bit of styling cream in there, probably from J. Crew, because it's a really good brand. I'd pop it in there, and I'd get a roller brush and a blow dryer and just blow back and have it, like, nice.
Ooh.
Oh, nice. What if I wanted a haircut? I hate this. This is, I don't know. It's too much for me.
I think just take my tips and do that with it.
Shut the fuck up. Listen to me. I go to bed.
Gabby's ready for bed. I'm not ready for, when I'm done with this, I'm going to make dinner for me and the wife. Then I'm going to post this. Then I'm going to talk in the chat with you guys. I'll be up till like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Let's do it.
Well, Gabby, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. At @Gabbity on the Twitter machine. Again, follow her. She's going to do big things this Saturday and beyond. I'm sure you can see her at some of the local shows in the area, WrestlePro.
Abby's ready for bed. I'm not ready.
Hey, what are you doing over there?
Sorry, I lost the feed. I'm trying to get it back. Don't mind me. I'm in
Monster
idiot.
Factory. She's killing it down there with Danny Cage and company, and they're doing great things. Gabby, anything you'd like to say for your fans before we let you go back to watching that little shithead eat all those eggs or whatever awful stuff he's doing?
What I like to say to my fans, I guess, keep in touch with each other and give each other lovins virtually, because I know it's been a really hard year, but we're gonna get through it.
Gabby,
and I love you guys.
You've been excellent. Thank you so much again. We'd love to have you back on in the future.
I'd love to be on. That'd be great.
when things get back to normal and you're working more and we can promote you more and get more eyes on you, because you're a talented young lady and we support you.
Thank you.
Even if LSG gives you a hard time. And I would really like to know what he said about us, because I am going after him now.
Yeah, we're talking to you, Gio.
I don't fucking know what I'm doing. All
right, Gabby. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gabby.
Good night, Gabby.
Good night.
Oof, we are on fire over here. We had the Sledge, the Heavy Metal Maniac. We had Gabby back to back. What
had
do you
the
got?
Metal Maniac?
The heavy shit. The metalhead maniac. Not the heavy. Oh, my God.
You want me to book him, brother? Daddy,
oh
brother.
My God. Oh,
we can call him right now, and he'll answer before the it rings once.
Look, if you want to do this show till midnight, be my guest.
Oh, no. We got some stuff to talk about. We got picks, Matt, right? Oh, Matt's,
yes.
Matt's on fire. Matt locked in three amazing guests, all unique in their own way, all incredible wrestling talents, and kudos, brother.
Do we want to take a quick break and then come back and wrap this show up?
Yes.
All right.
Because we need to play commercials and we need to do plugs and we need to do Patreon supporters and all that nonsense.
All right.
All right.
Giddy up.
What do we say? Somebody say it.
Back after this.
Baka, baka, baka.
The commercial.
Oh, it's that festive time of year again. The holidays are upon us and you've got a lot of shopping to do. And you're going to probably do some of that shopping over at Amazon, right? But we don't want you to go to Amazon.com. No. We want you to head over to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. See, when you use that link, you're going to pay the same great low prices. You're going to have access to your Amazon Prime and all the bells and whistles. But a small percentage of what you purchase is going to go to support the Shining Wizards. It's not going to cost you a thing. It's going to help us out. It's like you guys are giving us Christmas gifts all year round. You're doing your shopping with Amazon anyway. Just head over to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and help your boys out so we can all have a Merry Christmas.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Waiting for the music to play. We've got a new commercial block, and that's not the same one.
Yeah, you fucked me up. We want to take this time to thank those that support us over at our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And we're going to give you more in 2021. So please stay tuned. Extra shows, extra content, extra giggles, extra Matt, Kevin, and Tony. Or Tony, Kevin, and Matt. Kevin, Matt, and Tony. Any combination of the three of us idiots. More of it for you. And you will ingest it.
Oh, yeah.
And if you pledge between $10 and $20 every 3 months, you get a package. I just sent out 4 packages the other day full of goodies.
I love the big package.
Love the big package. So check it out. Go over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And for $1 a month, you can support the show and help us continue to give this show to you for absolutely nothing. We're going to start with our queen of the Shining Wizards, Miss Kathy Hummer. The king, of course, opposite of the queen, Mr. Manny Crazzo from Austria. Danny and Anthony Rusinello, the SWP, the AOP of the SWP.
I never heard someone do a Manny before, but that was so perfect.
Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com, their brewery over in Hackensack, New Jersey. If you need some brew before everything shuts down, head over to elementary.com. That's ALEMENTARY.com. They'll do pickup. You just drive up to the brewery. They put it in your car. You go home. You drink a bunch. Then you go to prowrestlingtees.com/Shining Wizards and order a bunch of Shining Wizards merch. Yeah. And then
don't drink and drive, though.
No. Don't drink and drive. But drink and order Shining Wizards merch. And then in the morning, you'll have buyer's remorse, but you'll have some awesome threads in about 3 weeks from Pro Wrestling Tees. So do that. Sean Toe and Sean Callejo. Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Kate the Great Hensler from OnDeckIC.com. If you've got a jingle, if you've got an ad, if you need some help to get your business off the ground, you're going to go see Kate the Great. You're going to say, Kate, I hear you've been running from Matt and his trivia challenge, and I feel sad. I feel sorry for you because you're a fucking loser.
Wait, what happened?
Yeah, Kate's dodging me. Because she knows I'm going to whoop her.
You're a fucking loser.
I'm going to whoop her ass.
I guess the shoe's on the other foot there.
Yeah, for her. I'm not painting myself up like fucking Warhorse or Sting or the Gobbledygooker or Mantar. No. I'm just fucking putting on my boots and waffling her, kicking her right in her vagina.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah. Because that's how I roll. That's how I roll at wrestling trivia. All right, but you go to Kate, you say, I hear you're dodging Matt, and I feel bad for you, so I'm going to give you some business. Write an awesome ad for my business. And she's like, no problem. Then she'll say, like, Matt's a fucking chump, Matt can't speak, something. She'll talk shit, too. It'll be fun. Yeah. But you'll support small business, and that's what Kate is.
Yeah, but hey, then Matt, you know what?
What's that?
Then, Matt, you'll give her the business.
That's right. I'll give her the business. Two out of three falls. It's she's going down time. In the first two. She's not even making it to the third fall. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Maddie Mellinger, sadly he has some kind of tie-in with Kate the Great, but he's not a loser. He's a good guy. Christine Friesendorf, one half of the Sign Girls. Mark Parlone, he just celebrated a birthday, as
happy
did
birthday.
As did Tier 1 Wrestling's Dennis Long, so happy birthday
happy
to both
birthday,
of those.
Happy birthday, Dennis.
Oh, Dennis, God. He's selling gold with Jeff Jarrett, so buy some. Kenny Hawsey, the Scotch Drinks More. Jay Kopp, the Big Papa Pump. Big Papa Pump, whatever. Jay's crushing it on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, who's not a bad guy, and that fucking gypsy choppy. Go to his Amazon wish list. I'm sure he needs fucking socks to cover those gross talons. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's from Milwaukee. And I don't know why he says ja, ja, ja all the time. Instead
it's
of
Milwaukee.
Ha-ha.
Maybe he's Spanish.
Is he Spanish? His Thomas is not a Spanish name.
Tomaso?
Tomas is different. That's different. Unless we've been pronouncing it wrong this whole time.
I think Milwaukee's Spanish, so I think that counts.
Milwaukee. It's Indian, right?
Indian.
Yeah. Didn't you say
Native American?
World? We can't say Indian anymore?
You can say whatever you want.
Not
I'm just saying what I
but
say.
The ooh, right?
Yeah, woo woo, sure. Not do do.
No,
yeah,
that you can't do.
What?
What? I just did.
No, I mean, like I said, you guys can do whatever you want.
Right. Within the boundaries of the law. Michael Hammond, Mr. David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hosserman makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Matthew Birch, the Prince of Pro, true Prince of Pro, excuse me, on the Twitter machine. TJ Vegas, and last but not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
In your face!
That's right.
Have you heard from Prince of Pro lately? That's the first time I heard his name in a little while.
Yeah,
he's on the Twitter machine.
He's always chopping it up on the Twitter machine, showing us some love.
Beautiful. Shout out to Prince of Pro.
You know where you're not chopping it up?
Uh-oh.
In your nether region.
Oh, fuck me, yeah.
Oh, God, I was awful.
In your nether regions. You're not chopping it up in your
never mind.
Nether regions because it's the holiday season. You're going, what the fuck am I going to get? My dudes. For Christmas.
My dude.
Right? You don't get him a gift. Gift card's fucking lame. My brother was like, I don't know what I want. Get me a gift card. I'm like, a gift? That's fucking lame. That requires zero thought. All right? You want to go to manscaped.com. You want to get some stocking stuffers for the holiday season. And look, you don't have to get balls. No. Shut your mouth and let me do the read.
Stuff your nuts.
No. You don't. It doesn't always have to be ball stuff. Okay? Sometimes it's awkward. You buy your brother some ball stuff, some ball wipes, some ball trimmers. That's not all that
Manscaped.
You
see my brother's balls. He could use a trimmer.
I don't want to see your brother's balls, though. All right, but you can get some nice Manscaped cologne.
Ooh.
You get some nice Manscaped body wash.
Spritz, spritz.
You can get the foot duster, which I love. Everyone's probably got some stinky feet. I get out of the shower. I spray some foot duster on my feet. Smell great all day.
Wait, what did your wife kill the other day?
A pheasant.
No, that's why there was no buckshot in it. You took your fucking stanky ass shoes off and they started dropping out of the sky. That's where you had your dinner from.
There have been some instances where I've been told to go wash my feet.
Well, there you go.
Pre-foot duster. They also have the Shears 2.0, a luxury four-piece nail kit. Right?
I just got that for my son. He loves it.
The crop mop.
Merry Christmas.
Right? Everybody needs the ball wops. Ball wipes.
A ball wops. Holy shit. Hey, a scongel, a fungal.
Matt just dropping slurs like it's his job today.
I've only had a drink. But if you're looking for the ultimate stocking stuffers for this holiday season, look no further because our sponsors, Manscaped, have the tools to make you win this year's stocking stuffer or white elephant competition. Manscaped is the only brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and hygiene products. And great news, they just released their products across Europe, Canada, and Australia. You've heard the three of us talk about it. We got the Crop Preserver, the Crop Reviver, the Crop Cleanser, the Crop Mop, the Foot Duster, the Shears, the Weed Whacker, and of course, the Lawnmower 3.0, the best trimmer for your butt, balls, and body. Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer offers a replaceable ceramic blade with advanced skin-safe technology, which helps reduce grooming accidents.
Keep your butt safe.
Go to manscaped.com and you put the code word WIZARDS in. You save 20% and you get free shipping.
Fuck.
How about that cologne, Matt? I heard that cologne is very refined.
It is.
I'm excited about the cologne.
It is. It is delightful.
Ah. Listen, pheasants will be dropping out of the sky because not because they're dying, but because they want to, you know, get with the refined man.
That's right. And whether it's your partner, dad, brother, friend, get them something that will actually use, and it's almost sure to get a laugh. I don't know about the laugh part.
A laugh?
That's a weird read. I don't know. Why would it laugh? If you got me something to clean my dirty balls, I wouldn't laugh. I'd be like, this
is... Are you sure that part wasn't in parentheses that we weren't supposed to say?
It's not. You're
supposed to laugh like, ha, 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 ha.
No. Yeah. Look, the read says, whether this is for your partner, dad, friend, get them something that they will actually use, and it's almost sure to get a laugh.
I mean, it is a very comical presence of what they're putting together.
It's not like
the whole strategy.
It's not as funny as like the People of Walmart calendar that I gave my sister-in-law for White Elephant.
It's better.
She hated it. It was hysterical. But... I guess this will be, I don't know, who laughs?
I would laugh if you got me ball wops. I would love to see what a ball wop is.
Hey, we should bring in Gino as a fourth guest for this.
Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the code WIZARDS. Be the ballsiest gift giver this year with Manscaped.
Gino, what did I mean?
Awesome.
Yeah, balls!
We're about 3 weeks away from Christmas. If you're going to buy Christmas gifts from Amazon, go to ShiningWizards.com, click the Amazon link. We see a very small percentage that gets kicked back to us if you use the link. It doesn't infect your computer. It doesn't show up differently. You literally just click the Amazon link from ShiningWizards.com and then go about your business.
It's even easier.
Oh.
Just put in Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. You don't even need to go to our website. Bickety-bam, you're in. You're good to go.
I was looking for us to get some
websites. Bickety-bam.
Look, we get the listens. We need the money. There you go.
We would like the money. We don't need the money.
Yeah, but it ain't costing them anything. That's the rub.
No, but don't make it sound like we're desperate.
Yeah, you sound
like... We got plenty of fucking money, but go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com.
Matt's actually going to go out with the Salvation Army, like, Santa suit and bell and just start ringing stuff with the Shining Wizards thing on the bucket.
You know it, baby.
That's it.
All right, so I think we covered AEW.
Oh, God, yes.
Right? We're done with it in AEW. There was a pay-per-view last night, NXT War Games.
I made a point to watch the women's match just as a note. Because I saw that you were pissed off on fucking Twitter today. First of all, what were people pissed off about?
Oh, they were pissed off that the women look too good. Candice LeRae got hurt. They were mad about that. She shouldn't be getting hurt. She shouldn't be doing this type of match. It's like, shut the fuck up. Yeah.
Look, it's the typical stuff, though. There were a couple of spots that were, like, sort of contrived, like... When fucking Io Shirai goes up in the garbage can and everybody just gathers around. I hate the gathering, like when they get ready to catch somebody.
Yeah, they did that in two matches tonight and last night.
But the other thing is the Candice LeRae thing when she's on the ground. Why did she pull the chair on top of herself? Like, what was she thinking? The chair's not there. Fucking leave it. It made it a million times worse, and I think that's how she wound up getting hurt. Am I wrong?
Well, wasn't it supposed to be, at least the way they explained it, was that it was supposed to hurt whoever was doing the move, right?
Am I
thinking of the same spot?
When What's-Her-Face came off the ladder? Who came off the ladder? Shotzi?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah. So, I mean, I guess the thinking was to get the chair up so this way she takes the impact on the chair. But, dude, how many times fucking people use the chair when they're dropping elbows on people? Like, there's, I don't know.
I mean, I think it, in terms of like what that match was and what it could have been and all the, I think that's a moot, not a moot point, but like, it's okay. Like the amount of times people could have gotten hurt in that match, if that's when someone gets hurt, that's all right. I mean, I'm not saying it's okay to get hurt, but I mean like, that was like probably the safest thing you probably could have done.
There were some moments where stuff was just like obviously set up, and then there were other moments where things felt genuine and real and physical. Yeah. And I'll tell you this much, I don't watch NXT a lot. Still love me some Dakota Kai. She's probably my favorite out of all of them. Yeah. She is, and she started the match, dude. Good for her. Ember Moon too. She got rid of that goofy music she always had, and she's got that killer skull now. She's, I like this incarnation of
that,
Ember Moon.
That was the first thing I noticed was her music gone, and I was like, oh man, I miss that music. No, I miss that music.
No, that music sucks.
This isn't bad, but I miss the old one.
No, anything's better than that old shit, but this was a lot, 100 times better.
I'd have to go back and look in the Discord because I'm going to steal something from somebody that said it in there. What Raquel Gonzalez is what they wanted Nia Jax to be.
Yeah, Nia Jax, you saw the clip. You guys both saw the clip. Of course.
Well, that's what prompted my tweet last week where it was like, it's remarkable that we can do a 3-hour show and talk zero WWE.
I'll agree with that. Whoever said that in the Discord, 100%.
It was either Danny or...
Sounds about right. Just stop there.
Scotch Drinksmore, maybe. One of the two. And maybe Maddie Mel. There was a couple people in that conversation this morning.
And this is why this match was good. I mean, obviously, I got the pick wrong. I thought...
We all did.
We all got that pick wrong. But this match was either about making one of two people, and if they did a great job, it would be making both. This match was about Selena Gomez. I mean, Raquel Gonzalez. This was about her. And I think if you're going to do it. Go for it. And I had no problem with it at all, despite getting the pick wrong. I think she's going to be a star. And Matt, whoever said that in the Discord, kudos to whoever said that, because that's a great point, and I think it's 100% accurate.
Yeah, they did. This match was a lot of fun. It took a while to get the juices flowing, but I thought it was excellent, and it just proves that the women of NXT are when you talk about women wrestling, the NXT brand has constantly had a strong presence. They're always at the top of the heap, and they always find the right people to put into those spots.
100% right, and it's a consistent like flow. Like just when you think Shayna Baszler leaves or whatever, she was like a staple for AEW. I mean, AEW NXT, and she goes, listen, NXT's women's division right now, because they do such a good job with maybe the younger, inexperienced people. Like Shotzi Blackheart, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, before Halloween Havoc, she wasn't in any sort of like picture. And all of a sudden now she's the most over female wrestler they have. Candice LeRae is like the equivalent to Johnny Gargano. She is going to be that staple in that division. Dakota Kai is... to me is like Roderick Strong, energy personified, endurance personified, can do anything you ask her to do. Raquel Gonzalez, beast. Rhea Ripley, God, who's going to be more over than her? Main events, WrestleMania. It's incredible, the division. Ember Moon, a great person that they brought back from the main roster to NXT to benefit her and the brand. Perfect. I don't have any complaints about that.
I do have to pick nits on one thing. Who was beating up Dakota Kai with the cutoff sledgehammer?
Oh, Hartwell? Was that Hartwell? She wasn't
in the
match.
Oh, Hartwell that came back in.
No, so I thought it was Rhea Ripley that was hitting her with the sledgehammer, maybe. What? Anyway, you're getting fucking hit with a sledgehammer. You should be out. You shouldn't be getting back up. Come on. Seriously, that bugged me. That did bug me. I was like, really? I'm like, Triple H knocked motherfuckers out with a sledgehammer, and this chick is like, my back, oh, it hurts.
Well, that's another thing you talked about before with your AEW thing, with your Battle Royal stuff. Like, everyone's getting hit with all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, one guy has to stay outside for an hour and a half. Listen, it's all, to me, it's all subjective on what the, I can't compare it to anything else. If it's happening in that moment, I have to dissect it for what it is for that moment.
Yeah, and that did stand out to me, and that bugged me. I was like, really?
I'll listen, T-Dunk, I think you'll appreciate this. I hated, and I don't know if they ever made a point to say that this is like, as soon as everyone like gets all like make their entrance, there's what it's like a Walmart of weapons underneath the ring.
Yeah, yeah,
like right there.
Yep.
Like I get it if it's done like once or twice, but like people, I mean, unless they made a point to say like, oh, they can put that there. If they don't, it's like, oh, God, a fire extinguisher, the tables with the names on it. Every single person, it seemed like, went to that little area before they entered the ring and took a weapon out.
Kev, one of them grabbed a stack of fucking kendo sticks. There was like six kendo sticks.
Was it? What was the women's match? I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one bit of booking I thought was cool in the women's match, though, was when they wouldn't let Io Shirai in.
Yeah.
And she was trying to climb, and they kept fucking batteramming her off and shit. But then they tried for a pin, and the referee's like, no, not everybody's in yet. I'm not counting this pin. So I was like, yeah, fuck you. You want to keep her out there? Now you got to suffer. Too bad.
And
I thought it was great continuity.
Was I the only one that thought that when Io Shirai put the garbage can over her head, was I the only one seeing like Oscar the Grouch with like her with the legs like flying like in like a real life Muppet movie, Sesame Street type shit?
Even better than that, when she was down on the canvas and Dakota Kai gave her the double stomp and then she couldn't get her out of the can because it was all fucking bent around her.
Yeah, I thought it was like, I thought that was perfectly done, but it was still impossible to get her out of there.
She really fucking crushed that can, dude. I was laughing. I was like, look at these fucking idiots.
I'm just thinking Io Shirai like Oscar the Grouch. It's all I thought of.
And she ate the pin. Fucking Raquel put her through the ladder.
Let's go set it up for the whatever. What is it? New Year's Evil? Is that the
maybe?
Yeah, which is basically just picking? It's playing catch up to AEW.
It's like
we don't have too many more shows left for the year, boys.
No, yeah, but that's not a pay per view. That's a regular.
Oh, even better. We have even less shows for the year.
It's like a Clash of the Champions.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's playing catch up to New Year's Evil. I mean, to Winter.
From here, we went to my favorite match of the night. From a wrestling standpoint, I thought they told an amazing story. Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher.
This match was the hardest one for me to pick, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. And I know that everyone says, well, it's Ciampa. It's, you know, it is what it is. But they've been building up Thatcher a lot on TV. And this, like, this goes back to, like, Ciampa's a made man. He doesn't need to win. Thatcher's a new guy. They got to build him up, even though Thatcher's an experienced veteran. This was the toughest one. I really wanted to pick Thatcher on this, but I went with that. I think this may have been my only one of two wins, I think.
Yeah, it was. We all went across the board with Tomas. And I thought with the story of him getting beat by Karrion Kross the way he did a couple months ago, and then him being out of action, coming back, destroying Jake Atlas, being a man possessed, because he still wants Goldie. But man, this match, holy shit. This, if you really want to look at a wrestling match where every move meant something, like,
yeah.
For me, like, this was great. I love the high spots, you know, and all the falsies, but this match really, I felt like it told an unbelievable story. Yeah. And Tommaso comes out on top. We all had that one right, but I really like this match. I don't know what you guys thought.
This match was exactly what it was supposed to be. 100% across the board, physical, wrestling, and you knew that there was going to need to be a break because you have two War Games matches on here. So you needed something different, not something. I'm not talking about bathroom break. I'm not talking about not important. I'm not talking about a non-title situation. It just needed to be what it was, a change of pace, and it was perfect. You can kind of say the same thing in a completely different realm about Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis. Just a change. When you have two War Games matches bookcasing the show, you need different things in between to make it work. And I think this match did it probably tenfold, and I think to jump ahead to Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis, I think that was just as good in terms of what the purpose that it served.
Tony, any thoughts on the Ciampa? Did you watch? You didn't get to see it.
The only match I watched. I wanted to watch the women's match because I know you were all fired up about it, so that was what I was able to squeeze in.
All right, sorry about the fans, not so much the match. Awesome match, though. You should check out Ciampa and Thatcher. I actually think you will really enjoy it because it has a very old-school feel to it where everything means something. Every move means something.
And I was surprised that we didn't get some like a student or something like that because the whole program was – he's like teaching. And then
catches.
I was surprised we didn't see any of that in there, but I'm totally okay with that.
I haven't been keeping up with NXT. This Lumis – Cameron Grimes thing I just wasn't interested in.
I'm sorry to cut you off. It's like they did like the theatrical thing, like the match. I think the wrong person won here. As much as I love Dexter Lumis and I loved him since he was Sam Shaw on TNA, Cameron Grimes has if Cameron Grimes doesn't win now, like, then when? Like, when is he? Right. He's been in a lot of big matches and just hasn't won. So I'm not that kind of guy that, like, picks and, like, critiques. I don't like to be that guy. But, like, this was the match. Dexter Lumis is, like, he has the potential to be, like, that character, that psychopath, that, like, Bray Wyatt, that, and people are going to trash me for this, but that Undertaker-type character where he's going to be that guy that doesn't need to necessarily win matches to get his point across, where Cameron Grimes really does need to win a match at some point.
I kind of see where you're going with that. And
can I interrupt you guys real quick?
Sure.
Little did I had to think back. I called a Timothy Thatcher match and I was like, he was the Evolved champion, and I had to remember which one it was. He defended at a tier one show against Tommaso Ciampa. I called that match four years ago.
Oh, look at you.
In my wheelhouse, baby. That's why.
Were we there for that?
Yeah, that was at the it was in Brooklyn. It was at
Regal was there.
Yes. It was at the American Legion.
Yeah, I wasn't there for that. I've only went to one tier one show.
You and the other guy and
Justin Carino was there.
Justin Carino did the podcast from there, didn't you? You did a show from there.
Yeah, we did a little something, and Regal was there peeking his head out, and he was backstage and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stroll down memory lane.
All in Evolved title matches right here.
Tony, that's something
you WWE brought it on board.
That's something you can put on your resume, bro. No one can take that away from you.
Kevin's been there for 4 years.
That's true. Johnny Gargano regains the North American championship.
Matt doesn't give a shit.
No, I don't give a shit.
Zero fucks given.
Johnny Gargano regains the North American Championship with a little help from the main ghoul, ghost, whatever you want to call Austin Theory. This match was fucking wild.
It was great.
And, yeah, I mean, it's to be expected. Gargano, Damian Priest, even Leo Ruff.
Leon Ruff.
Awesome match. I don't know if we need to really dive into it. Kevin was the only one that got this pick right. Tony thought Ruff was going to retain. I thought Damian Priest was walking out. But this was only one of two that Kevin got right.
Brutal night.
And then I thought this match, the main event, was my second favorite match of the night. I think it'll go down as one of the best war games of all time, because every single person served their purpose in this match. And it was done beautifully. The execution was amazing. For all the hate I gave Pat McAfee when he was first involved with Adam Cole, I think he's really come on strong here in the last couple weeks. And this match was just another indication of how well he's adapted to being in the ring. And I think he was the perfect foil for Undisputed Era and Adam Cole. Bringing in Pete Dunne is great if you know the history. With Roddy turning on Pete Dunne a long time ago. So I thought this was great. They gave Lorcan and Burch a nice little rub. They're still the tag team champions. But this match was awesome. So I don't know if there's more for me to say, but Kevin, what'd you think?
This was a War Games match. This was your old school War Games match. And this is everything that it needed to be. And Pat McAfee, I don't care what anyone says. I've said it since the first time he cut his heel promo. The guy is good at what he does. If you hate him I don't care. If he does one moonsault a match for the rest of his life, I don't care. The guy is good. He's good. He's a performer first. He's a wrestler second. You want to put wrestler fifth or seventh or eighth or ninth or 10th down the list, that's fine with me. He's not a wrestler. I get that. But he served his purpose. He held his own. He did what he had to do. And like Matt said, everyone else served their purpose. Kyle O'Reilly is a superstar. Always has been. Always will be. I think every single one of these guys, and we're talking about these guys like they're young. They've been around for goddamn who knows how long. Roddy Strong, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly could all like literally be independent superstars on their own in NXT. But I'm happy that they're together, because never since the Four Horsemen have I seen a group look more powerful. And I want to see them versus the Hurt Business. That's what I want to see. Undisputed Era versus the Hurt Business. Book it. I don't care. Bring them all up to the main roster and send them back down. It's WWE. Nothing counts anyway. Who gives a shit? Bring them all up and then bring them all back down. Bring the Hurt Business to NXT. Undisputed Era versus Hurt Business. I want to see it. That's it.
Would you like to see that match, Tony?
Sure. Why not? I love me some Hurt Business.
All right. So me and Tony went 3-2 with NXT War Games. Kevin, 2-3. Tony still sits in first place at 150-80. I sit in second place at 147-83. Kevin is in third place at 145-85.
Lost some steps here.
So I'd have to go through the calendar and see what's left, but I don't think we have many more pay-per-views left. So I know there's a TLC, there's Wrestle Kingdom, and I think Impact's Hard to Kill.
Yeah. Do we have a – we don't have a AEW pay-per-view?
Or is that after the – that'll be after the cutoff.
Interesting. What about
four shows?
What about a Synergy show? Do we have a Synergy show that we can call?
I don't think we're gonna start picking Synergy shows this.
What about Russell Pro Alaska? Can we make picks for Russell Pro Alaska?
I think that'll be after the cutoff date.
That is April.
WWE Network's adding a ton of content. I don't know if you guys are watching, but Broken Skull Sessions with Undertaker was on. And yeah. Taker,
I watched that.
Taker told the story how he had lied to Shawn Michaels' face.
Yep.
Which I thought was very entertaining.
I didn't see that.
When Taker was taping his fists up at WrestleMania 14, where he said if Shawn didn't do the job to HBK, he would knock him out. And then HBK asked him, like, you know, is it true? And Taker was like, no, I would never do that to you. That was, like, when HBK was a piece of shit, and now he felt bad because HBK is a different person. It's a very fun story. But they're going to have Claymore is going to do Broken Skull Sessions. The Slammy Awards will be on the WWE Network.
Oh, yeah, baby.
WWE The Day Of, WWE Untold, Goldberg Streak. The 10 Best Matches of 2020. They're doing a new Superstar Gaming Series, whatever that is. And so much more. So the network is rocking and rolling. Tony's making faces.
I do want to watch the Keith Lee 24, though. That should be good.
Yeah, I heard rave reviews about that yesterday. The latest class of recruitments was announced down at the WWE Performance Center. You will know Alex Zane, Desmond Xavier, and Zachary Wentz, 2/3 of the Rascals. Triple H was asked on the NXT conference call about Trey Miguel last night. And he said he can't talk about that, so we'll see what happens there.
AEW?
Who knows? It's the AEW or WWE.
But this is actually a really good to Sledge's point about how, like you look at the recruits that they've posted in the last like three or four recruiting classes, not your like typical WWE style guys in the long term, in the old school days. These are young athletic kids that are, I mean, kids. They've been doing it for a while too, but it's he was right about that. It's not just about big dude. Oh no, was that Logan that said that? And these aren't the typical guys that you see signed by WWE the last few classes. So this is cool.
Yeah, interesting stuff. TLC is shaping up to be pretty interesting. Your Universal Champion Roman Reigns defends his title against Kevin Owens in a TLC match. Another TLC match: Drew McIntyre, AJ Styles, because Braun Strowman is out with a knee injury. Tony's girl, Sasha Banks, defends her SmackDown Women Championship against Carmella. The WWE Tag Team Championships are on the line as Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax defend their Women's Tag Team Champions against Asuka and Lana. And Randy...
wait, what? Asuka and Lana are a team now?
Oh, yeah.
I thought Lana was teamed up with Liv Morgan.
No, Asuka... Or is that... Oscar, I don't fucking know. I don't watch them.
No, Liv Morgan's with Ruby Riott.
No, they're not together. Liv Morgan.
No, they are. They're the Riott Squad again.
Again? Really?
Yeah. You only live once or live to Riott or something like that. I'm telling you, Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott are a team again. Ugh. They were on a Survivor Series match together, weren't they?
Maybe.
We are not a WWE podcast anymore.
No. And Randy Orton against The Fiend with that Alexa Bliss thing is still going on where she's like.
Not going to lie, that's a pretty loaded pay-per-view.
Yeah, no, talent out the wazoo.
They don't have bad pay-per-views overall. It's just
the TV is hard to swallow. Tony, you're right.
Getting there is a battle.
Yeah.
It is. Not a final battle, but a battle.
No, final battle stacked. Let's blow through some New Japan news. We found out who the finals of the World Tag League are going to be. It's going to be Finn Juice against the Gorillas of Destiny.
There's got to be like a gif or a gif for Tony's disgusted faces.
You don't like Finn Juice?
No. Who would like Finn Juice?
I don't know. We talked about eating geese tonight.
Finn Juice just sounds fucking awful.
And you talked about grog last week.
Grog is good.
Grog is the only drink served at T-Donk's Bar and Grill, just so you know.
Go. Good food.
Thanks be to grog.
Your final
Matt walked over it, but I thought it was good.
No, I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
He said, thanks be to grog.
There you go. I'll take a side of gruel with that. Your finals. I don't fucking know.
I will gruel you. Jimmy King.
Jimmy King is one of our biggest supporters on Twitter.
Wait, what's up? Can we give a shout out to Jimmy King?
He's the fucking, the king rules. He loves our shit. He bought a t-shirt from us and everything.
I love the king.
Who doesn't? The king rules, baby. Shout out to the king. Jimmy the King on Twitter.
Come on, Headbang Club.
El Desperado and Hiromu are your finals of the Best of the Super Junior.
Hiromu's going to win.
I hope so. And then they announced the final card for Best of the Super Juniors and the World Tag League, which takes place December 11th. looks like they're setting up Shingo and Jeff Cobb for the NEVER Openweight Championship, so that'll be fun. Ring of Honor, we talked to Sledge about a bunch of stuff, but Final Battle's looking fucking banging. We're going to pick Final Battle. Yes!
Yay!
Roosh defends his championship against Brody King. Brody King also pinned Kenta in 8-man tag match on New Japan Strong, and he wants the briefcase for the U.S. title. Keep your eyes on that. The Pure champion John Gresham defends against Flippy Doo. Jay Lethal and John Gresham defend their tag titles against Mark Briscoe and PCO.
I saw the video of the Briscoes getting into it. Like, I got to move on. You got business. I got business.
Yeah, Chicken's mad, bro. Chicken wants his tag team title shot. And Jay's off playing fucking pee-pee touch with EC3.
Oh, easy.
That's I got to start doing. Watching Ring of Honor. Don't
control... Why? Is he pee-pee touching?
Yeah.
No, is he Chicken? What is this Chicken?
It's Mark Briscoe. That's his nickname, Chicken.
Oh, all right.
Matt Taven and Mike Bennett take on Vincent and Bateman. The ROH 6-man tag team championships are on the line as Bendito, Flamita, and Ray Horus defend against Shane Taylor and the Soldiers of Savagery.
Horus Hogan.
Tony Deppen takes on Dak Draper, takes on LSG, takes on Josh Woods. The winner of this match will challenge Dragon Lee for the Ring of Honor TV title later in the night. And Yes, and Jay Briscoe against EC3. So this is a fucking loaded show, and that's happening December 18th. I'm excited for that. And we'll pick those picks next week.
Great.
Baby. Impact has.
Tony, you're winning, Tony.
He hates
picks. I still hate the picks, Kevin.
Impact has Final Resolution this Saturday night. New Japan World has the Super J Cup in the United States also Saturday night with Chris Bay, El Phantasmo. It's a fucking stack lineup, so check that out. This week on Knockout, Kevin's buddy. His best friend, Brian Myers, takes on TJP. Joss Alexander takes on Chris Sabin. Eric Young takes on Cody Deaner. And Kenny Omega will be in the house. Davey Boy Smith Jr., he's done with MLW. He lost to Lowkey in the Opera Cup match. Tony, any comments?
Good match. Very good match. If you remember, that was the second round match. Same combatants last year in the Opera Cup where Davey Boy Smith actually worked in where he was locked into some key lock and he rolled through and reversed and he got a pinfall on Low Ki. And this year they played off the same finish where Low Ki had him trapped and Davey Boy went to roll forward and Low Ki just rolled through with it and he got the victory. Excellent match. I think it was about 25 minutes too. It was a great match.
Yeah. And that sets up your semifinals for next week. Oh, of course. ACH was successful against Laredo Kid.
Another good match. Good to see ACH getting feeling it again. He was doing his little dance in the ring and stuff. Good time. Good stuff.
Coming in or what? Is Cody Hawk coming in? What's up with that?
Surfer Cody Hawk?
I think Cody Hall is out.
He was supposed to be there, right?
Yes. Scott's kid. Scott Hall's kid.
Oh, yes. Cody Hall. I thought you said Cody Hawk. I'm like, Surfer Cody Hawk?
He was in, but now he's out.
Like in the span of like 5 hours.
Yeah,
no?
It was real weird. I don't know what happened there. Your matchups Wednesday night, Low Ki takes on Richard Holiday, which is a super interesting matchup. And then on the flip, Tommy Lawler and ACH.
Tommy, you guys are on a first name basis now.
Oh, yeah, we gotta be. He's got them Daisy Dukes on, baby.
And that fucking Gino Medina better watch his ass. He thinks he's gonna fuck with Holiday.
Funky Cole Medina.
And Tony, your boys are going to defend the tag team titles against Jacob Fatu and Simon Gotch.
Yeah, that's a weird pairing that they chose from Contra, no?
I mean,
Freebird rule.
Kevin Koo?
That's me.
He's Kevin Koo and Dominic Guarini, right?
Yeah, violence is forever. Kevin Koo left. He was in Contra, right?
No, yeah. That was Kiro Kwan.
Oh, Kiro Kwan. Okay, Kevin Koo is now with Team Filthy. So they hit him and Dominic Guarini were a tag team. Violence is forever in the indie, so they make their debut this week too. And Calvin Tankman will be taking on Zenshi.
Yep, that's gonna be good. That's gonna be interesting.
He
took out that Ariel Dominguez last week, and he 2 weeks ago.
Like
yeah, fucking slaughtered him.
It's a loaded MLW show for Wednesday night.
That Ariel Dominguez, if you remember, he. Was it Kid Osborne that he wrestled? No. Who was the other guy that was on the show that worked MLW? Brian Idol.
Yes.
And Brian Ariel Idol. Dominguez took the win over him. My favorite MLW match of all time.
Bold statement.
Can I make another bold statement?
Yes.
Sure.
NWA Shockwave debuted last week. Highly disappointed. Ugh. Look, I get it. It's a pandemic. It's hard for them to get shit together. They're not doing shows in the studio in Georgia for the time being. Dave Marquez and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood's gracious enough to help them out. They got shut down too. So there's not going to be any more pay-per-views, at least until the beginning of next year. So Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, which I'll get to in a second. But NWA's Shockwave, it was the matches from the very first fucking primetime live pay-per-view. Including Aldis versus Bennett. Look, great matches, but I saw them already. If you didn't see Camille against Heather Monroe in her debut, good match. They told a great story. Eli Drake had a singles match. I forget against who. It was somebody we know, but that was a look, all great matches. Been there, done that, paid for it. I was like, oh, really? But look, Joe Galli was on my TV. And I love me some Joe Galli, so I'm all right with that.
Did you read the terms and conditions of your agreement? Can you get your money back?
Kev, I didn't. I really didn't. And you know what? The fucking first episode was so glitchy. Remember how many times I was fucking bitching and moaning about it on Twitter too? Ugh. So Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, primetime live, and it looks like NWA, unless they're going to the can with other episodes, they might be Dunsky for another month or so. So I don't know what's going to happen there. We had interesting stuff for the last episode of Primetime Live, though. Levi Shapiro is once again your United Television champion, and he was defending said title, and he tried to sneak out the back door, and all the fucking good guys came out and beat the shit out of him, including some fucking MMA dude that was on commentary. I don't have anybody's names, but it was interesting shit. It was a funny way for them to have a send-off for episode 12, but other than that, I don't know. It was kind of sad Tony last week finding out all this news. All
right, well, we're going to keep the sad Tony train rolling because we found out Wednesday that Pat Patterson passed away.
Yeah, that's ooh. I mean, look, what was he, 80?
No, not even.
How old was he?
78, I want to say.
He was sick too, which I had heard that I didn't know of.
He was 79.
I don't think he was.
79. No, somebody mentioned that he was sick.
I mean, it was. It didn't come up in any of the articles that.
No, it didn't. And I want to say that I heard it where somebody talked about it. Was it Eric Bischoff? In the latest episode of 83 Weeks, Conrad brought it up in the middle of whatever they were talking about because it came across his phone. And I swear, I'm not 100%, but I swear I thought I heard Bischoff say that, you know, like people didn't really even know that he was sick. He's like, I had no idea he was sick.
Oh, okay.
So
well, then
maybe he let the cat out of the bag there.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. Then if you don't let people know, then of course, then how can you know? But yeah,
so, I mean, you know, maybe Eric was on the inside of something and kind of spilled the beans on that. But
well, you got to figure that circle, like Jim Ross is like best friends with Pat Patterson. I'm sure at least very close with him. And so, I mean, in that circle, it's going to get out between at least them. And they did a good job of keeping it secret if he was sick. So
that's a bummer. Your North American champion became your first intercontinental champion by winning the Southern Heavyweight Championship in that fucking awesome tournament in Rio de Janeiro.
He created my favorite match of all time, the Royal Rumble, which I watch. I can go back and watch any single Royal Rumble, any single time. He created that. He gave that to me.
So. Check out his matches with a heel Sergeant Slaughter, boot camp matches. Good
no,
shit.
No, he was the heel, wasn't he?
Slaughter was. Slaughter was the heel.
You sure about that?
Slaughter was a face when he wrestled the Iron Sheik in boot camp matches. But when he wrestled Pat Patterson, Patterson was the face.
Far be it for me to judge the T-Donk in the oldest of old school wrestling knowledge.
Yeah, I don't know everything, but I know a thing or two about it.
Tony, you know a lot. Listen, I've lost every single week, and can you beat that for the last month and a half?
You lost 2 weeks, Kev. Relax.
No, it's been longer than I've lost at least four in a row, at least.
I don't know about that. I just remember I won, and then Matt won. And
I think since the anniversary, I think I've lost every single week. Pretty sure.
Beats me.
Because I'm disgusted with myself about it. Disgusted.
We are approaching 10 o'clock. Do we have anything else we want to talk about this evening?
Are we not going to play games?
No, we're not. Fuck that. Playing games.
We had a pretty loaded show, so I'm going to lean towards the no.
I can tell you this. Next week, 7:30 p.m., making his return. I promised him, and he delivered. Miko Maestro is coming back.
Fantastic.
Nice. Proper for Miko. We can get him on the show proper. That's very good. There's also another potential guest who might be joining us, but I will let you know as the next week approaches. She is featured on AEW Dark the last couple weeks. So we'll see.
Females on the Shining Wizards.
I don't want to say she's going to be on the show and then have something come up. So once I can confirm it, then we will announce it.
It's not Jacqueline Rougeau, is it?
Fucking Jacques Rougeau, you piece of shit. I swear to
God.
He
fucking did podcast that same week, dude.
Fuck
what
him.
The fuck?
I don't know. He's a hand job.
All right, so guys, my top five this week is we've been talking about. No, I'm just kidding.
Good one.
Dummy. Yeah.
By the way, was the audio louder this week? Was it better? Were you able
sounded
to
hear great. Whatever it was, sounded great.
Yeah, sounded good.
No, because when I was doing, I did some production, as you know, over the weekend. So I was trying to boost up some stuff. So
also, real quick, did anyone think when we were talking to Sledge, did anyone else think that he looked exactly like Dave Bautista?
No, he's a handsome fellow, though. I'll give him that. I could see the Batista. I could see that.
Exactly
I was
Batista.
Waiting for Matt to call him the heavy metal maniac the whole time, though. He actually did a good job keeping that straight. So bravo, buddy.
He's the man. He knows what he's doing.
Want me to book Heavy Metal Maniac for next week? I'll get him for 8:45?
Absolutely not.
Why? He's another guy living the dream out in Hawaii.
Tony, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. We booked a lot of guests on this show. A lot of good, some bad. The heavy metal maniac is the fucking worst.
What?
Oh, no, he's not.
No, he's not. No, don't he's fuck not your hand, worst. Dude. Come on.
No, look, nobody wants to hear him tell his stories about how he rode Jimmy Snuka's fucking coattails.
Whoa.
All right? And he wouldn't paint my fucking face, and he called from a fucking submarine last time he was on the show.
He's not the worst.
He's nowhere near the worst. He was probably in my like top 100 guests.
Oh wow, top 100. Good God. Good for him.
I'm telling you, very few guests I was not happy with, but most of them I really enjoyed having them on the show.
There you go. All right.
If I could make a top 155, Kevin, I would, but you know.
Zicky Dice would be all 155.
Number one with a bullet.
Beautiful.
And just because Sledge is like his BFF, I might make Sledge number two.
Sledge could be up there.
Sledge was a good get, man.
All of our guests tonight were fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Special thanks to Logan Creed, at the Logan Creed on Twitter. Give him a follow. Sledge, at Sledge805, and Gabby Ortiz, at Gabbity. Give them all follows. Show them your support. A special thanks to Mark from Ring of Honor for being a great talent PR guy who doesn't have to get on the line when we interview Ring of Honor talent because he trusts us.
We're professional and he trusts us and he knows that we're going to do a good job like we always do. So huzzah for us. Question, is the CYBT championship on the line next week, or do we need to talk
who
about
who wants
that?
Some who wants it?
You know who wants it. We just got to make sure we can put it together.
Bring it on. You don't stand a chance. Down again.
Wait, Matt has to read another six books.
I got nothing but time. I got nothing but time, Kevin.
Good play.
All right, I'm not watching fucking Royal Rumble 92 for the 7,000th time.
It was SummerSlam 91.
I got to seep it all in, the knowledge. You think this is real? This hair is getting bigger because my brain is getting fuller.
No, that's not true at all.
It's all the oxygen going to the brain. It's pushing out fresh hair follicles. I like it. Look at him. He's all geeked up, bro. He's ready.
Yeah, right in time for the end of the show.
This is an intermission for me.
Questions are all set, and I've got some good ones. I've got some doozies, so we'll see how it plays out.
Look, I'll throw down to anybody who wants to join in, okay? You want to be a part of this? Let's go.
No, we'll talk about this off the air.
Yes, we should do that.
All right, we'll be back next week. If you're listening to this in podcast form and you can carve out a little time during your Monday night, check us out on The Rant, rantiumradio.com, Facebook, facebook.com/Wizards Podcast. My beautiful, wonderful wife is joining me.
I have to say thank God for Manscaped.
Look at that.
Look at that, a plug. How about my hair? What's going on up here, though?
At least there's no hair on your balls.
Whoa!
That's an endorsement if I ever heard one.
Look at that. The boys are excited about that.
But you got to ask her how the feet are.
How are my feet?
No funk.
Did you get that?
No, what'd she say?
No fun. Did she say no fun?
No funk.
No funk. There you go.
Oh, no funk.
There you go. I like it.
Do you want? I can put the cans on her. You guys can talk to her if you want.
No, it's okay.
Oh, she just gave you her own
cans. You got the cans right there, bro.
It's exactly what she said, Tony.
She shed.
She shed. Stupid fucking Nelly. God damn it.
We went the whole show, the whole episode without that happening.
We almost made it.
You got your wife's jug movement, so that was good.
Again, if you're listening to this in podcast form, carve out a little spot Monday night, facebook.com/Wizards Podcast, rantiumradio.com to listen live. You can watch us interact with our guests at Wizards Podcast across all social media forms. Please be following. And if you listen to us live, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your Monday night. Podcast form, we'll see you next week. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe, wherever you're listening.
Thumbs
maybe
up.
Matt, maybe a little bonus show ski tomorrow night. We'll see.
Ooh, teaser.
We'll see.
We'll be back next week with the Miko. Who was his name? Miko's Makamakaba?
Yes, Miko's Nikos.
Tony, you going to help him with his audio so we don't have any issues like last time?
He said his computer microphone is shot, but his phone is ready to go.
All right. So are we going to get the picture and phone?
No, we're going to get picture on the phone. He'll do the video on the phone.
We're going to have no time constraints for Miko next week. I might just book Duke the Dumpster just to bump him anyway.
Wow, you're horrible.
Beautiful.
And it's 10:03.
Yes, let's go.
We'll be back next week. See you later, you freak.
Good night, guys.